And then there's a break. Does anyone need to use the washroom?
No.
I will just in case.
Ooh.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Saints Row the Third, Personality Evangelist here with WTF at TFW, your source for Transformers and Saints Row the Third. With me today is Gog Dog.
Have you bragged to your friends at school about this?
Yes.
What was their reaction?
That sounds pretty cool. Fair enough. A lot of very polite smiles and nods, because none of them have played Saints Row ever.
Or even talk to you.
No, yeah, I was just waving my hands. Like, hey guys, I know we never talk, but have you ever heard of Saints Row? No? Well, guess what? I'm in it. Isn't that great? I'm going to the
locker. I also have my own angle.
Check it out. Oh!
It's like, the new guy's kind of weird.
Keeps pointing that digital camera at himself and talking to it. Also here today is Seth Buzzard.
Hey.
Yo.
Not in any games.
Well, you're in any game with a create feature, if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, I never made
it. The one time I really tried to go, okay, I'm going to make a character that looks like me, was for PlayStation Home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little too close to real, and I didn't like it.
It creeped me out.
It wasn't good. And then I turned off PlayStation Home, and I've never looked at it again. So
I forgot I have PlayStation Home. I don't think I've ever turned it on.
It's kind of lame.
So I heard. I don't feel like I'm missing much. We are here today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk to you about Transformers, the robots who are in disguise. You might remember them from such TV shows as The Transformers. We're going to start off today with some news about a little bit of a blurb, an update, actually, about the upcoming Transformers Collectors Club exclusives, Runabout and Shattered Glass Drift. Well, we got word that their pre-orders are probably going to open up in January with a likely estimated shipping date of sometime in early March. In order to secure those toys, you have to be a member by January 1st, 2012, and then you'll be able to get in on the pre-order. A lot of us are pretty pumped about one of these, and I'm pretty sure there are a bunch of people pretty pumped about the other one, too. I'm probably going to order both, because that's how I roll. Gog, how are you feeling about this pre-order schedule? Is this going to work for you, do you think, monetarily, January pre-orders?
Well, I do think this is a better idea, number one, letting everybody know up front, mm-hmm. in advance, by several months or weeks. When at least general time frame, you know, and I mean, again, like it's if absolutely the argument that was made before is, you know, these are going to be available sometime next year, so save money. So, you know, it's whatever. It's I understand both sides, but yes, I do think that the effort made this year to let people know a little upfront of when they are going to be available ahead of time. Is absolutely a step in the right direction as far as that communication that I think is good. And also, you know, depending on when BotCon goes up for pre-order, it may kind of fix my other complaint in that dropping the BotCon pre-reg and all of the exclusive figures and the exact within, you know, months or week or within days or weeks of each other helps a lot of people as well. Like this year, it's not going to be a big deal for me this year at all. I don't think, because as I had said last time, I paid my car off, so I have it's a lot of that having to worry about that stuff is gonna this year be a lot easier on me as far as planning that stuff. But it wasn't just for me either. It was just in general. I think it's a good idea to kind of spread that stuff out a bit. And we don't know when BotCon even is yet, or much less when the pre-reg is going to go up. But
yeah.
Hopefully, my hope is that at least there is a bit of a bit of a spacing between that, just to, so that it's easier for everybody who wants to get both can do so without having to spend an arm and a leg doing it.
And it's a twofold thing, because you also now know when you need to re-up your membership if that's coming up, so you aren't going to be... You aren't going to be in the position of having a date dropped on you where it's like, all right, you got to pay him for him right now. Go get him. By the way, you don't have a membership, so you got to throw that extra, whatever, $80 on as well if you're in my position. And definitely, if they can spread it out too and just get all this information out there ASAP with as much lead time as possible, you'll have more people financially ready and able to jump in on this stuff, I think. But Seth, how are you feeling about this this announcement?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that they're giving up any information about anything. I mean, this is turning into, like, the year before last one, like, with as far as BotCon goes, like, not knowing until, like, kind of late in the game.
Yeah.
And not having a even part of the information, like, even a frame of, like, oh, we're looking at it to be during this month. Like, I mean, I understand you can't give a location until you have it settled, but I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It seems like there could be something by now, but, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Time frame would be nice, at least. Like, or at least, not even a set time frame, but just, like, we would like to hold it now, and if the cards fall together right, we'd like to hold it at this point.
Well, here's, okay. I just thought about this. So let's throw out a little bit of a speculation, but speculation with a bit of foundation. They FunPub has announced the dates for JoeCon. JoeCon next year is going to be June 21st through June 24th. That's generally the time frame when BotCon is held. BotCon is usually at least a month apart from JoeCon because it's the same people who run it and they have to travel, plan, take at least a little of a bit of a break in between because their whole company basically uproots for, you know, a week or so. Now, here's the other thing. The pre-orders for these figures, it says go up in January for the Run Amok, Runabout, Shattered Glass Drift, and they're expected to ship in March. So is this... Okay, one thing that we had learned from Twitter last year was... The reason why the figures, the club figures went up for pre-order was because they are all kind of made in the same factory run as the BotCon toys, right? So is this a hint that we may be getting a late spring BotCon?
And that's not unprecedented, is it? I mean, I know BotCon's...
It's not, no.
Yeah.
They've had BotCons in March and April before, right?
Yeah, and to throw... I think we have. April sounds very familiar to me, but also just to add to the speculation, this year is a Joe movie year, is it not? Like this or, you know, 2012 at least. This coming year is a G.I. Joe movie year, with G.I. Yeah. Joe's second movie coming out. So that would warrant, to me, the bumping of JoeCon into the somewhat more... movie prestigious summer block where it can get all kinds of movie treatment, and with Transformers, you know, on a movie break year, and with G.I. Joe on a movie year, having BotCon happen, you know, sort of quote unquote off season doesn't seem unfeasible to me when I think about it. Maybe. Although if it's earlier in the year and we still don't know where it is, that also kind of sucks.
Yeah, the problem with it being earlier is you're giving such short notice, and like the later you book your airfare, if you have to fly, and most people usually do, I mean, that starts running up that cost. And I don't know, like April or May or March kind of works for me, because the last couple of years BotCons have been like really close to holidays. That makes it really difficult for me to get time off. Like, I've had to go to work for like half a day and then head over to the airport. And last year, I worked the full day and flew in kind of late. And the 07 BotCon was a similar deal where I had to work and I didn't get to Rhode Island until like almost 11 o'clock at night. And so it's kind of this weird in between. Like, I kind of like the idea of that time frame, but also, you know, we got to know soon.
Yeah. Right. It really sucks for the people who are coming from Europe.
Yeah, Europeans, anyone out of continent, this is a real bummer for. Canadians, at least, for like depending where it is, it's still drivable for some of us. But yeah, when you have to fly in, the less notice time you have. It's not even about like, oh, you know, can I book my schedule for this or not? Flights are more expensive when you have to book them in a short notice or a small time frame.
Yeah,
and
BotCon 2008 was April 24th to the 27th.
Okay, there you go.
So it's not unprecedented. But yeah, I think that this is a good hint that we are going to get a spring BotCon around sometime I'd just say sometime in April.
Yeah,
late March or April. But it's
I mean,
They're cutting it close, that's for sure.
I fully understand that if they make an announcement about information that is not fully confirmed, and then that information changes, people will fly off their rockers as their testicles just ignite like rocket engines and blast them through the ceiling. But at the same time, I think there is a balance, and I understand also that Hasbro, being a major IP holder in this whole deal, has a certain amount of say and a certain amount of muzzling they can put on this. But I think just stating like an intended time frame, even if it's like an intended time frame of a 60-day window, is better than, you know, radio silence. Because right now, people literally, this speculation we just did is the best info that we have to work from, which is speculation.
Did we talk about it on the show last time, or did we talk about it off mic, where that girl on Twitter asked the fan pub?
I think that was off mic.
Yeah, so she was asking, like, how do you have JoeCon done so quickly with information, but we get stuck in these situations where we're waiting until the last minute for BotCon news? And then the club's reply was, well, unofficial conventions have an easier time.
That and was then Aaron confusing.
Jumps in. Yeah, Aaron jumps in with, like, are you saying JoeCon's not official? And, like, no, we're talking about things like SlagaCon. And then Aaron and Merrill, baby, were like, we weren't. We were talking about JoeCon. So, I don't know. It's weird.
It's a very strange mode of communication, is the best way I can put it. Yes, shouts out to Twitter accounts Axe Smith and Mirai Baby, who may or may not be listening to this. I'm not sure if Aaron listens to our podcast or not.
Well, he claims he does, but I'm waiting for the evidence.
Anyway, that's some TFCC info if you are pumped for...
So anyway, yeah, pre-orders.
Yeah, pre-orders for toys. Runabout and Shattered Glass Drift. If you want a cool classics toy or Deadpool Drift with extra accessories, both are going to be open for pre-order in January. Moving on from there, new picture picks! I want to know what you'd like to talk about, Gog Dog.
I actually have a couple of things within the theme.
Ooh.
A theme, that theme being Hearts of Steel.
Ooh.
The first thing is we got some pictures of the new Mastermind Creation Cyclops. We got prototype pictures, because I believe the last thing that we saw was at TFCon at the third party panel, and that was mostly still just new information where they talked about the size and they showed off the artwork again. Didn't they? But
yeah,
they didn't show anything physical.
Yeah, this is a full-on white prototype, like a physical white prototype. It's kind of gigantic.
Yeah, and okay, so I've seen it in person, but only once, and I think that was the year, I think it was 2010 when Seth bought his Prime. But how tall is there...
I want to say he's about 8 inches tall. There's another photo here with this Shockwave standing right behind a Classics Rodimus, and Classics Rodimus doesn't come up to his waist.
Okay.
He comes up to the bottom of his crotch plate.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking good. I mean, yeah, it's just a white prototype, but
The mask.
Everything I've seen about this toy has so far screamed must buy for me.
And like one of these shots, you can see the inside of one of the legs, and there is like all kinds of pistons and stuff going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
And like this is our first indication of the actual mass of this figure. This is huge for third party. I suspect that also means A, it's probably going to cost lots. But
yeah,
I have faith in Mastermind. I almost wonder. I'm sure this is not the case because third-party toys don't get developed this fast, and they've been working on Cyclops for a long time. But I wonder if the sort of success of the TFC Hercules and the successful hype on the Make Toys Giant, like the two Devastators, I wonder if that is kind of like pushing Mastermind's confidence in releasing something this big. Because this thing's apparently coming out in January, too. Like, that's not far away.
Hmm.
I got faith in Mastermind to pull off something cool. I know that, like, I always say this, but I know people are still a little bit like, I don't know, that Night Morpher, and it got better, and I really hope that the delays on this thing have led to it being a better figure than a first release figure.
Yeah, and the fact that they went, and I think we talked about this before, but the fact that they went back and made all those changes for the release instead of just redoing it in new color, I do think that speaks towards them wanting to get their products right. I mean, maybe they could have made those changes before the first one came out, but I mean, was that their first product? Or
yeah, first product, yeah. As far as I know, very first product.
So,
and you look at that, and look at some other companies who have had falter products, and Like perfect example, Crossover Gen just announced a Power Master Prime trailer for G1 Optimus, and I'm like, that's great, but I saw how your last toy went, and I want this one to be better, but much like Mastermind Creations, you've got to prove that you're going to improve on your quality.
Yeah, and so I kind of wish we had got to see physical pictures of the alt mode, but whatever. I mean, I understand why the prototype couldn't be, but I kind of wish that they had taken some photos of the prototype and had it on display next to it and be like, yeah, this is the alt mode, but whatever.
Yeah. This happened with the Hexatron prototype they had at the Cherry Bomb show. It was just in robot mode, and it was literally, I think, like a 3D printed version.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing it was just in a position where if they wanted to transform it would have taken a day. Like, to not break anything.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, Seth, I was curious about your thoughts on this because you are a Shockwave kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks awesome. But I'm kind of trying to keep it at arm's length, not get too excited until we find out like more what the price is going to be, because I have to be a little more conservative with my buying.
Mm-hmm.
Until some unfortunate, like, real-life things hopefully fix themselves.
Yeah.
So, if I want to keep thinking about going to that mysterious BotCon, I'm going to have to, you know, pull the reins in a little bit. So, you know, hopefully it will be an affordable item and, you know, those things that I have to be concerned about kind of go away, and I don't have to concern myself with them so much. But just for now, I definitely appreciate what's going on there. I'm just trying not to get too excited.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially if you do make it to the mysterious BotCon 2012, you won't have trouble finding one of these eventually. Mastermind Creation stuff, it sells out, but it doesn't sell out fast usually. Like there's a nice kind of delayed speed on how long the stock seems to survive on a lot of their stuff. And I don't mean that as a slam on them. I just mean that as, you know, they don't have the hype machine behind them that TFC's Hercules has behind it as the easiest example. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, and I did a bit of speculation on this, and I was thinking, if you want to guess a price for this, for now, seeing this thing standing next to the Night Morpher Commander, go in expecting to pay $160 for it. That's my guess, because it looks like it is in every way a double Night Morpher Commander, and Night Morpher Commander, I believe, was around $80 when it came out. So prepare for $160. Don't be disappointed if it's around $160. And I certainly don't mean it's impossible that it might cost less. Never know what'll happen. But for now, I'm bracing for 160 whenever this comes out.
Yeah, I'm not guessing less of anything.
Yeah. The thing's kind of friggin' huge. Yeah, Gog, you said Hearts of Steel. Was there anything else Hearts of Steel?
Yeah, we got the cover to Infestation 2, number 1.
Oh,
and
right.
And it shows... Let me link to it here, because I don't know if you guys saw it, but... yeah, I mean, it's got tentacles. So, you go. The tips of the tentacles are... The tentacles are coming from every angle, and then...
Ninja Turtles!
Yeah. Look, though, it's making a skull in the middle.
Oh, but, man.
Yeah, old ones, tentacles, yeah. Yeah.
Who are those ones on the bottom left and the bottom right?
I don't know.
they're the ones who are going to die.
if I remember correctly, I don't know. But I think, because Infestation 1 had bookends with IDW proprietary characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe one of those guys was a vampire or something. I don't know. But I think those might be the proprietary characters that were in the bookends.
These guys, they've got to, at least for 15 pages, have these franchises cross over and just fight Cthulhu.
Did they say that this was going to involve 30 Days of Night? I am so underprepared for this. I just saw the cover and thought it was really
familiar.
Cool.
But I don't know. I am so behind on comic news.
I bet I could find out real quick if you're
while you're hunting for that. This cover does look really cool. And then Raphael, the Ninja Turtle, there looks pretty raw and vicious. He's like baring his teeth, practically got fangs going on. And Optimus Prime's just like Cthulhu. Another day of the office.
Yes, it is. Infestation 2 is going to include Transformers, Dungeons and Dragons, 30 Days of Night, Ninja Turtles, and G.I. Joe.
So Dungeons and Dragons!
Yeah.
They've got to cross these over!
The girl on the cover she must represent Dungeons and Dragons, but she has a gun! That can't happen!
If anything, the bloody-faced vampire guy would...
Yeah, but he represents 30 Days of Night. Okay. So, I don't know. Maybe not.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm pretty sure that girl is she's a first party character, so I don't
know. Maybe the tentacle things are like beholders from D&D or something.
Maybe.
Who
cares?
Yeah.
Cover looks cool.
The only thing that has me a little bit like I think this looks great. I'm just kind of bummed at the chance that like the high chance that none of these characters on this cover are gonna actually meet each other. Like, I don't know. This seems like a perfect time just to go nuts. Break down the walls of continuity and just have Optimus Prime, Snake Eyes, and Raphael, like, sit down and have a beer.
Yeah. Oh, Snake Eyes is a ninja. The turtles are ninjas. Like,
yes!
That would be so perfect, and it won't happen.
Yeah. And I know there are probably very good, very legalese reasons for that. But it's still kind of a bummer. Infestation 2. When is this coming out? Yo, Seth, are you digging Infestation 2?
2012.
Yeah, probably won't.
2012. Yeah, that's it. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Here's a press release, you might say.
I'm sorry, IDW Comics.
All I wanted to do is... Oh, it kicks off in January.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yep. Oh, man. Nice. Okay, that's really close. Okay, well, moving on from there. Seth, you have a new picture pick.
Yeah. So just a quick update.
Oh.
Last time I talked about that Spray and Rager, should have been called Complainer, from High Gear. So there's new pictures of those guys. Now they're all painted up. I think that Knott Huffer would really benefit from a nice red Autobot logo on his chest, just because he seems to have a lot of blue going on there.
Mm.
But I think they're both kind of interesting looking. I'm not not quite sold on Spray's chest. Kind of seems a little, I don't know, like there's too much chest going on. not sure how to put it. But one of the things that really got me looking at Sea Spray was we also saw new pictures and the fact that they're up for pre-order at TF Source, if not other places by now. Make Toys, Hover and Bomber, which are another not Sea Spray and not Power Glide.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was like, hey, what's the difference between these Sea Sprays? Like, is somebody ripping somebody else off? I'm interested to know. So I pulled up pictures of both, and yeah, they're very, very different.
Yep.
But there's things about both versions that I like better. Like, I like the Make Toys chest better, but the iGear one seems to have more detail going on.
A little bit more beef in the arms, too.
Yeah, and the feet, kind of, it just looks more detailed. But I also like the yellow fan assembly better on the Make Toy one, so it's like this weird mix.
Do you think you're going to end up with two entirely different third-party Sea Sprays?
Most definitely.
Yeah, me too.
I've already pre-ordered the iGear one.
Me too.
I'm kind of waiting on the Make Toys. But I love the robot mode on that Power Glide, the Make Toys Power Glide.
I love how he has such an unabashedly big head. Like, he has no qualms about the size of his head.
Well, he's got little legs and, like, big fat arms and a big old head.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, just in that picture that's on the front page of TFW2005.com, just, I don't know, maybe it's just that picture, the lighting and the angle, but he just looked really cool. And I like it.
Yeah, I am okay with having two unofficial third-party Sea Sprays, because if you asked me last year if there would be two unofficial third-party Sea Sprays that are entirely different, I'd have called you crazy.
And it's just is funny that they would go for it.
Of all characters, to have two companies making very alike toys that are completely different, it's Sea Spray.
Well, I could see how both of them would have gotten the idea of doing a Sea Spray.
Oh, yeah.
Just because the only official Sea Spray we've gotten in forever was that big, huge Voyager-sized one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course people are going to want a more mini-bot version. Oh, I never really looked at the picture of the iGear Sea Spray in vehicle mode before. It doesn't look like all the parts line up very well.
I want both of these guys so I can have two Sea Sprays, and one of them is like the alternate dimension Sea Spray, and nobody knows which is which because nobody cares about Sea Spray.
And because they don't have faction symbols.
Yeah. It's one day there was another Sea Spray, and people are like, do you remember what Sea Spray looks like? Like, yeah, he's a little yellow and blue boat man. And they're both like, and they're like, yeah, whatever, there's two of you now.
Hey, everybody, a lot of trouble.
See you later. They're like, oh, that's right, that's why we don't hang out with Sea Spray.
That guy's so annoying to talk to.
Now there's two of them.
That Power Glide, it looks like it started off as like an SD figure.
Yeah.
Like straight up. Like, because those are pretty popular nowadays. Like, they're doing little SD versions of all sorts of robots and other lines now, especially, you know, like Bandai stuff and got a lot of Gundam, like Macross, also like the ex-Gokin, whatever it's called, the whatever Roadbuster is, I forgot his name.
Yeah,
it's on the tip of my tongue.
Mugen Calibur something.
Mugen Calibur, that was it. It almost looks like this Power Glide like started off as that, and they're like, well, we're not sure, but they kind of like that aesthetic so much that they kind of left like a little bit of a big head in there.
Well, if you look at the sculpt of his face and ignore the cone around it, it's actually kind of proportional a little bit, except he's just wearing this giant conical helmet over top.
Yeah. Which one is this? Who's making this?
That's the Make Toy.
Make Toys. Yeah, I'm kind of tempted to get that Power Glide just because of that.
Well, the jet mode and that Sea Spray's hovercraft mode, and you could see pictures of the vehicle modes in this link that I'm providing to you guys and not the listeners.
Hooray!
Listeners can fend for themselves. The vehicle modes are both very, very close to the originals.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Like the Sea Spray, like the MakeToy Sea Spray vehicle mode, I like better, but I think I like the iGear robot mode more.
these MakeToy ones, they're showing them with the Classics Legends mini bots. That Sea Spray fits in with them perfectly.
Yeah,
like beyond well, like
I think
they both look good.
I think both of them
is amazing how well they
do. I think both of them are they stick out as looking truer to the original figures than all the official ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're a little bit more proportional, but, like, right down to the size of his head, that Sea Spray, at a glance, just like, oh, yeah, that's one of those Classics toys. Like, he fits in dangerously well. I like that. Looking forward to these.
Yeah, it's both a couple of pretty good mini-bots. And that picture of the iGear ones, there's no pictures of them with anything else for scale except for being held in a hand. It looks like they may be a tad bigger.
Oh, no. Someone did some digging. That guy apparently just has tiny hands.
Oh.
There's a picture somewhere of...
Joey Little Hands. Hold this. Hold these.
There's a picture somewhere of Rager standing next to Generation's Cup, and he looks pretty tiny. But I can't find that picture anymore. I remember where I saw it.
Oh, wow. This picture of the MakeToy ones with the official Hasbro figures all in robot mode, they look really small.
Yeah. These all feel kind of like, hey, let's try doing that thing Perfect Effect does. Not in a bad way.
No, I dig. I think I've been more impressed with, like, highly posable little things than I have with, like, big, more detailed, impressive transformation, like super complicated technical transformations. I think I just like little posable guys.
Yeah.
They're doing something for me these days.
Ever since my first Perfect Effect one, I realized that I kind of dig that aesthetic of how much can we stuff into a 2-inch tall figure. Something fun about that.
You brought that Shadow Warrior that I ended up trading with you for, and like, I instantly fell in love with that thing. As soon as I took it out of the box, I was like, yes. Yes, this is right. I like.
He stood up and he's like, yes! Yes! I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, yes!
I was like, sit down, idiot. I'm like, no!
I'm happy! All right.
And then I got over it and sat down.
So, over the next couple months, we're going to have, I guess, our first in-hand looks at all of these third-party mini-bots, and
they're not awful priced.
No, they're really well-priced.
I mean, this two-pack at TF Source is, what, $35?
Yeah, it's $35, and if you go to the
iGears at BBTS were, I think, 20 each.
If you go to iGears' site, I think they're, like, 15 each. And, okay.
Yeah, they were like 20 each at BBTS.
Yeah, they're very comparable prices, and easy prices too. I thought these were going to be all going to be 20 each out of like Robot Kingdom, and then 25 or 30 moving down the line. I'm guessing the size helps, but at the same time, they're pretty decently engineered going by these photos. But in hand stuff will probably happen over the next 30 to 60 days, so. Keep your eyes out for it. Problem with third-party stuff releasing at this time of year is it's all shipping amidst Christmas shipments, which means everything slows down. So while they say they're releasing over the next 30 days, don't expect these by Christmas. They might happen by Christmas, but don't be mad if they don't. Man, that's a whole lot of third-party stuff. I'm going to talk about some official Transformers for my new pick-picks. I'm sorry about this. we've got our first look at Takara Tomy's offerings for Transformers Prime. The first thing I want to highlight is that it looks like the cost of the deluxes is close to 3,000 yen. Have fun buying those, because I'm probably not, because 3,000 yen is a lot of money now. Even if they're marked down to like 2,500 or 2,000, that's a lot of money. But the main things we saw out of this is that the Voyagers, Optimus Prime and Bulkhead, are going to have slightly different colors. In the case of Optimus Prime, it seems to be extremely slightly. The blue on him is a lot darker. And I think that's it. Maybe the gray is slightly darker too. He's just a little bit darker overall. Bulkhead is a lot more noticeable, even though it's more or less the same thing. Bulkhead's green is going to be a lot darker, but given that that's the color of nearly his entire body, he looks a lot different in the photos of the Takara Tomy version. Different enough to warrant considering as a separate or additional purchase, I think. The Takara Tomy ones are going to be releasing at the end of December, so probably around January, very early January, we're going to have some comparison photos if stateside Voyager Bulkhead becomes readily available by then, and I think he probably will. So, Gog, how you feeling about these Takara Tomy versions? Is anything grabbing you here, or at all?
Well, I've known these pictures were out here. I've had people ask me about them. I haven't actually taken much of a close look at them until now, but I'm almost saying that the Japanese version of Bulkhead kind of seems closer to the Transformers animated tone, because in Prime he seems to be like a lighter shade of green. So I mean, I'm not comparing screenshots or whatever, I'm just going off my head, so I could be wrong about that, but like I remember looking at him extensively when we were back in Prime time, when the Polarity Gauntlet episode, because that was the first one we'd had in a while where it was all the characters were kind of out in bright daylight.
Yeah.
And I remember kind of looking at Bulkhead like something seems a little off with him, but I specifically remember his color just being more of a lighter shade of green. And I think the finish on this one looks good. The shininess certainly, I think, is it does well with that mold, but I'm thinking the actual tone of the green might actually be a little bit more accurate with the American version.
All right.
Just first impression.
And Seth, I don't know if Prime is yet readily available on Netflix or such services, but have you got any opinions on the Japanified versions of these toys?
Just more so that, like, after how different, like, the animated figures were in Japan and how different, like, the Henke classics were, it's interesting that these are more subtle in their difference.
Yeah.
Not like, hey, super glossy, awesome paint job, and random patches of chrome. So, it's just and I don't know if it really means anything, but it's just interesting that it's not wildly different.
I'm kind of bummed that it's not more wildly different myself. I don't know why. I think because the animated toys were so different, and they were almost all warranting taking a look at to see if you thought they might look more close to your aesthetic preference. I also thought that Prime was such a great series to do the animated-o chromey silvery paint stuff on. And so far, these pictures are not communicating very much of that. Maybe we'll see later on, once these actually come out, they might just be using Hasbro toys for stock photos. But it is a bummer, especially when you look at the deluxe prices at being nearly 3,000 yen. And it makes you feel bad for the Japanese fans who are going to have to pay 3,000 yen for what we can literally get for literally half that price.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots right now of from Prime, and like the color is pretty close on the Japanese version. Like when it's in fairly dark scenes, like inside their base and stuff. But like, I'm gonna stand by what I said. I think as far as the actual shade of green, I think the American version tends to be a little more accurate, and the Japanese version is actually a little bit closer to animated Bulkhead. So I definitely think the quality of the paint is better on the Japanese version. I think that shininess really lends itself much better to Transformers Prime than it did for animated. It almost seems like they kind of wasted their their effort on animated, they should have held that out for Prime for sure, unless they're just going to carry that on. But I think that that'll suit it well for making the Japanese versions maybe a little more lucrative.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like as we've talked about before and as Seth had just mentioned, it's like, yeah, just like random shininess on animated figures didn't really make a lot of sense in a lot of cases. The American paint jobs were way more accurate, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it was, in hindsight, I thought I was okay with it when the whole line did it, and it kind of just made it like, right, this is the fancy animated line. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was almost like a gimmick. It was like, here, that's what they're doing to separate themselves. And if they want to continue that in this, I think that instead of being out of place like it was with animated, could really lend itself to being more of an accurate thing, because that's one thing that we've talked about a lot is like when we're watching Prime, talking about it on Prime Time, like when you see the HD, like it's all, you know, shiny and beautiful and stuff. And if they could at least try to simulate that with higher quality paint on the Japanese versions for people who are willing to pay a premium to import that stuff, it's not going to feel as out of place visually, I don't think, as it did with animated, but.
Well, shiny tan always makes sense.
Ah, shiny tan.
Just ask TFW member Shiny Tan.
Also, seeing pictures of the Vehicon Erraticon reminds me that I am not going to have a Vehicon Erraticon anytime soon, and I get bummed. Because Wave 1.5 only adds Cliff Jumper, so I'm like, where's my... I want my Erraticons! Damn it, I want those alt modes. But, yeah, these will be out at the end of December if you are deciding to go for the Takara Tomy route on your Prime buying. Or at least photo galleries of these will probably be out by the end of December. So you can spend your New Year's looking at pictures of Japanese Transformers. Favorite pastime of my own childhood. Anyway, moving along from the new picture picks, we're going to talk about a new Transformers series that, I'm going to be honest, I forgot to cover on this podcast for a very long time, and I actually had enough questions come up about it for me to actually want to say, I'm sorry that I forgot to cover this show very much, because I honestly felt a lot of its info kind of just slid in under the radar without a lot of fanfare. But this is Transformers Rescue Bots, the very young, very toddler-oriented Transformers toy line and cartoon. The cartoon is going to start airing on December 17th on the Hub. It's from the creators of Transformers Prime. I wonder if that means the people working on it, or if that just means Hasbro. But it's going to have traditional animation, a bunch of Autobots that have been sent by Optimus Prime to protect and learn about humans while stationed on an island off the eastern seaboard. It's kind of neat. And it's going to have...
Where nobody lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is that island Manhattan?
They're just going to take over Manhattan Island, turn it into a testing bed.
It's just Long Island. Yeah. Just all of that Long Island.
But,
so, hey, what are you guys doing here?
So, some of the voice talent on this actually looks pretty exciting. Although, unfortunately, John DiMaggio is not apparently in the show, which kind of bums me out, because I really want John DiMaggio to get a regular Transformers role. He needs one. He deserves it. But we do have a full voice cast here. I'll rattle the names off. Jeff Bennett, Steve Bloom, LeVar Burton, Lacey Chabert, Parvesh Chhina, DC Douglas, Alain Garfias, Maurice Effin LaMarche, Jason Marsden, Shannon McCain, Diamond White, and Imari Williams, as well as Peter Cullen when Optimus Prime makes cameo appearances in Rescue Bots. I love the idea of cameo appearances by Optimus Prime. I'm actually kind of interested in seeing how the show turns out, because it's got a couple voice actors that I really like. And I wonder if it will maybe have that weirdly charming draw that Marvel Superhero Squad had for some folks. I don't know if I'm going to like keep up with it weekly or anything, but I am most definitely going to see how this show goes once it starts airing. Seth, how are you feeling about Rescue Bots? Are you going to check it out at all, or are you going to let that slide by?
Well, again, don't have the Hub.
Oh, yeah.
But I would probably let it slide anyway.
LeVar Burton!
It's not a... Yeah. Great.
Butterflies in the sky.
I don't know. It's just the
Seth the, doesn't the style fly twice of it.
No, readings for nerds. The only, yeah, you know, whatever. It just, it doesn't seem that appealing for me personally.
Hmm.
Oh, I got nothing against it. I'm not like, no, this is dumb. Why are they doing that? None of that at all. Just
it's not
turning my crank.
It held no real appeal for me until I saw how deeply into the concept it pushed itself. Like it didn't just go like, yeah, we're kind of Transformers for little kids. It's like, no, we're Transformers rescue bots in our own aisle in the toy store. And we're going to have our own cartoon. And we're for little kids, and we're doing our own thing. And we got... Now Maurice LaMarche can come to BotCon, as can LeVar Burton. And I'm like, all right, I kind of like this show now. Gog, how are you feeling about Rescue Bots?
Well, the one thing that... I mean, yeah, I'm like you guys. Like, I understand this is going to be aimed at very young kids. So, yeah, I'm not planning on following this, and certainly not to any degree like I do Transformers Prime. But, like, one thing that I find interesting about this is... the fact that, at least from what we're getting in this little press release, is it seems like Optimus Prime himself is going to be kind of a background character for the most part. They certainly make it sound like he's running things, but the show is definitely not going to focus on him. And I'm kind of surprised by that, because you would think with the Optimus Prime character that they would almost want to have him as the main character for the kids, because that's who they recognize, and they would go the other direction with, like, the main series that's aimed at older people, older kids and adults like Prime is. So, I like that, though, and I wonder if, I hope, because we get asked all the time, like, you know, what would you do, or what would you hope to see at a new Transformers show? And that's certainly what I've mentioned several times, is I'd like to see Prime and Megatron and all those guys take more of a back seat and kind of create some original characters, or go in a slightly different direction without kind of the same thing rehashed over and over again. And ironically, that seems kind of what they're doing with Rescue Bots. So, yeah, at the very least, I want to check it out to see how far they go with that. And it's just going to be kind of a kiddie thing and all that. And I understand, but I hope it's a trend that continues outside of this little bubble.
You know what I really want to see happen? I have a bit of a crazy theory here, but the concept makes it open to this. Okay, so it's a team of Transformers, the Rescue Bots, Heatwave, Boulder, Blades, and Chase. They're stationed on an island off the eastern seaboard with this human family of first responders to do a bunch of testing and stuff and save the day. So that means they're pretty isolated from the rest of Transformers. They're on their own little island. They're doing their own little thing out there in that little eastern seaboard area. What if one of the big moments of Transformers Prime Season 2 is like someone references in the show, what if we call on the Rescue Bots over on that eastern seaboard island? Like, what if this is actually in continuity, and Transformers Prime is happening around them, but not on their island?
And that's why Prime gets relegated to cameo appearances, because he's doing his thing in Prime proper.
He's hell of busy fighting crazy cosmic-level stuff. And so he leaves these guys behind on Earth, especially if Prime goes into space in the second season a whole lot more.
Yeah.
That would be so damn cool if this is in continuity!
Well, are there any crossing over characters?
No!
Like, is Bumblebee in both?
Bumblebee has a toy in Rescue Bots, as does Optimus Prime, but Bumblebee is not mentioned anywhere in the solicit for the show. He's not one of the Rescue Bots.
Okay. I could buy it, then, being in the same universe.
Oh, man! That would be so awesome if this, like, it's this total mind screw, like... They just have the one episode that, like, vaguely crosses over, and you're like, what? And they just never talk about it again afterwards. I don't know. Anyway. Now I set myself up for the same levels of disappointment I set myself up for when I started talking about Chernobyl Transformers with furry hats made of metal.
What if they spun Raph off from Prime and made him the leader of the Rescue Bots?
Yes! On Rescue Bots!
Bravo! Yeah.
He doesn't show up. He's the leader.
Yeah, that is great. Oh, he can take Bumblebee with him. What if they
all of a sudden they decided okay, Raph's just not a dumb loser that we don't know what to do with. He's like this badass genius, like, strategist.
And that goofy, I can do anything with the computer would fit in way better with Rescue Bots than it would Prime.
Yeah.
For sure. What if they have to randomly keep rescuing people from Cliff Jumper zombie walking around?
Oh, man, like, what if...
We got another Cliff Jumper zombie sighting. We gotta go rescue the people from the house as he's clawing at their front door.
They could totally have, like, the one Dark Energon episode where it's, like, some Dark Energon... Like, some season finale-level epidemic is happening, and it's like, here's what was happening in Rescue Bots, and it's just them, like, saving a bunch of people on the Eastern Seaboard from zombies. And like, in a totally heroic and not too grisly way, and you're like, just enough to make it in continuity without ruining the theme of Rescue Bots. That'd be so cool.
I want to see Zombie Cliff Jumper, and they can basically turn it into slapstick.
Oh, man, we got to stop talking about this.
Or it's going to be like The Walking Dead.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't watched its first season yet. I'm leaving it alone.
It's a zombie show. What more do you need to know to get the reference? Rescue Bots is going to be the Hub's version of The Walking Dead.
Who's Rick?
You're Rick.
Oh, yeah! Anyway.
My face is Rick. Actually, you're Daryl.
I don't want to be Daryl.
How do you even know?
I read the comic books.
You just said... alright.
Daryl's not in the comic book.
Is it?
I don't think he is.
Anyway.
Vangelis, well, you're Merle. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Vangelis would make a great Daryl.
The Rescue Dead. Premiering December 17.
Run around with a crossbow and just be incredibly racist.
I am, you know.
Well, Merle isn't, or no, not Merle's super racist in Walking Dead.
I'm not handy with a crossbow yet, but I can.
Daryl was a little bit racist, but you can see he's like learning that it doesn't really get you anywhere. And
Daryl has SS on his motorcycle.
I mean, tell you a thing
that's Merle's.
That was Merle. They're brothers.
Yeah, that's Merle's bike.
They were still brothers.
Yeah. Well, did you see the one where he was hallucinating? It doesn't seem like they were good brothers.
We got to stop talking about Rescue Bots right now. We got to get away from Rescue Bots immediately.
We'll reel it in.
December 17th. We have a listener question. From the 12th prime, the number 12, sent in around the end of September. He says, "Hello, Commander Vangelis and the cohorts of Chaos." And then in brackets says, "If this question comes up when Seth is on, maybe have him read it with his Brian Savage impersonation auto-turned or not. It doesn't matter as I'm writing this with that particular voice in my head and yours too, Vangelis, as you are more than likely to read this first since I'm sending this to you directly. This is the place to send questions, right? Lol." Seth, do you feel up to it?
I need time to prepare.
Alright. We'll give you that time to prepare by speculating more on Transformers Rescue Bots. How do you think Unicron's gonna get involved? What would Rescue Bots Unicron look like? And would he be voiced by Maurice LaMarche? Just doing the brain voice, which was supposed to be Orson Welles anyway.
They could have an homage to G1 of Unicron's severed head, except for it's a severed head of one of the rock avatars that for some reason didn't die, and it walks around on little tentacles.
Oh god, it's gotta have the brain's voice then. Like, just like it saunters into the Rescue Bot's base, and it's like, yes. Oh,
it's kinda like Igor. Yeah, it's like Igor from Dark of the Moon. It's a severed head that just walks around. You got your movie reference. You got Unicron.
Yeah. They should let us work on Rescue Bots.
Right.
Are you ready to go?
Do you hear me?
I do.
Is it set up correctly?
I do.
Yeah.
Do I sound like T-Pain?
You sound stunning.
Okay. So should I just read this or what?
Yeah, just read the question.
Okay. Now, with the movie trilogy wrapping up, and Transformers Prime getting going into the full swing of things, I was wondering what y'all think about what characters in the franchise have fallen in tier and What ones have risen? Love the show and y'all sense of humor, but you're all kind of smart asses. But keep up the good work. Get out. I ad-libbed a little bit there.
I like it when auto-tune Brian Savage goes like, what and what, y'all? When he hits that certain tone, I can't control myself. All right.
Well, it's very close to the brown tone, so
yes,
try to control yourself.
Imagine if Brian Savage could just activate the brown tone, just walk into a room full of people standing in line just for fun. That'd be horrible.
Totally brown it out.
Brown it up. So, yeah, what y'all think about characters in the franchise that have fallen in tier and which ones have risen in tier? I could say who's risen in tier immediately, but I'm going to pass this one over to Gog. Who do you think's risen and fallen in importance?
We're talking about the movie trilogy?
Yeah, like with the movie trilogy having happened, in the aftermath of it, with Prime going on and all this, what characters, just franchise-wise, do you think have kind of fallen down in importance and fallen up in importance?
Well, okay. Well, we can go to Prime. Like, obviously, RC, for one, I mean, has had nothing other than just, you know, a little bit of homages ever since G1, and then she got a little bit of a boost in Animated, but certainly huge spike in popularity from Prime. Same with Bulkhead. I mean, definitely he was so popular coming in from Animated that they basically copied his character and pasted him right into the next show.
Yeah.
So that's certainly one. Fallen in tier. I mean, like, Ratchet has kind of, since Animated, and of course with the movies as well, and then same thing, right back into Prime. So he's, I guess, for a while there, I mean, maybe, like, Unicron Trilogy, you know, and
yeah, Ratchet, like, didn't really exist in the Unicron Trilogy.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared for a while, and, I mean, Ironhide has certainly been you can just take the main cast for the most part, because there's a lot of crossover. I mean, like Starscream, Megatron, Prime, those guys haven't gone really anywhere for a long time. Mm. Fallen in popularity.
One off the top of my head would actually probably be Skywarp and Thundercracker, just overall as concepts. I think they seem to have... I mean, they happen as toys, but Starscream has had so many actual characters of note happen that...
That's true.
People think of him like levels above Skywarp and Thundercracker.
Yeah, and even when Skywarp and Thundercracker... like, did happen officially in canon on screen, they were just Starscream clones and Animated.
Literally. Yeah.
And never even named.
Yeah.
Except for in toy form.
Yeah, but... and then in the movie, we've had a Thundercracker and a Skywarp for every Starscream, but almost entirely off the books. And in Dark of the Moon, they were deluxes, and one of them was Japan exclusive. So, I think they've definitely kind of fallen down the rungs. Seth... do you have anything to add to our ups and downs and character tiers?
Yeah, those two are definitely way down, kind of almost forgotten in a lot of ways. But coming out of the movie, I mean, Ratchet went from being kind of a forgotten character to one of the main dudes in everything.
And he was going to be Red Alert.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was so great and Animated, and... it sounds like he's a very similar character in Prime, so I think Ratchet's really, really come into his own lately.
Hmm.
But yeah, Ratchet, Bumblebee too much.
Extremely. Bumblebee's
gotten pushed too much into the front. Time to reel that guy back in a bit. Yeah, I don't really know about other characters that have kind of fallen out. I mean, Hotshot was kind of a big deal.
Yep.
Through like the whole Unicron trilogy, and now it's like, all right, you're Bumblebee again. I mean, that's basically what you were anyway.
I was going to say, a lot of the mainstays of the Unicron trilogy, who had then kind of crossed into being mainstay names, have fallen off, like Hotshot, Red Alert, Jetfire. Jetfire was in... He was in Revenge of the Fallen, but aside from that, he's like a no-tier character, again. Like, a lot of people don't really think of... Like, Jetfire in Animated was just one of the Jet Twins. Not to say that they were poor characters or anything, but that is certainly not high-tier character kind of material. I think Jetfire, given that he was in every iteration of the Unicron trilogy... A lot of the Unicron trilogy main cast, I think, who did not get name crossovers, they really vanished. It's kind of like they were there for that you know, early mid 2000s era, and then all the original names kind of popped back up and were pushed into the stratosphere by the movie.
Galvatron.
Oh, yeah, Galvatron. The whole notion of Galvatron, Cyclonus, and Scourge. Those guys, they've only been in the comics, and then they got Heart of Darkness. That didn't help a lot. I found the trade of that the other day, and I flipped through it, and then I stopped flipping through it. I was going to say Unicron, but can't say that anymore. And I really like the idea of characters who kind of grew out of the movie and the shows that happened during the movies as well. Bulkhead, Barricade, and Lockdown, specifically. Those three names belong to those three characters now. Like, there have been Barricades, Bulkheads, and Lockdowns, I think. I'm sure there was previously a Lockdown, but I might be mistaken. But nowadays, you name those three names, those belong to Movie Barricade and Animated / Prime, Bulkhead, and Animated Lockdown. And I think that's kind of cool, that out of the 07 through 08 era, we had a couple of characters basically become iconic.
No, there was never a Lockdown before Animated.
Oh, that makes him even cooler. Because he is the Lockdown, then.
At least according to the wiki.
Ooh. We better go in there and add Generation 1 Lockdown ASAP.
Well they did, but that was from 2010.
That's
after Animated.
That's not G1!
Yeah, it was. You know, Drift miniseries, you know?
That's Neo Mark 3 G1... Chud, Nouveau.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. Playing devil's advocate. But yeah, I think it's. I actually have always been really happy about the number of. You know what? Blackout as well. Blackout was a cross series character from the 07-08 era as well. Those guys actually I really dig because I think that to become an iconic character. The guys in Animated, you know, they had a very strong show behind them, so that did help, you know, like Bulkhead, especially, and Lockdown. You can see it with them, but movie designs like Blackout and Barricade, for those guys to become as iconic as I feel they've become to those names, I think is very impressive. So that's kind of some ups and downs. I hope that was along the vein of what you were hoping for, the 12th Prime. Hope that someday you can make 11th. We also have a question from Omega Supreme 1. It says, "Hey gang, long-time listener, even longer lurker. If you gentlemen each had unlimited influence and funds, which series, with the exclusion of USG1, which has been done enough, would you reboot? Also, which media would you reboot the series as?" Seth, what would you reboot and how if it wasn't USG1?
I seem to think we had a similar question to this.
I read this and I thought we had a similar one, but I couldn't remember, which often happens.
You know, maybe, I don't know. I was going to say maybe take another look at Machine Wars.
I
think when we had a similar question to this before, I came up with something better.
I'd be up for Machine Wars getting some actual, you know, friggin' fiction. Flesh it out. Give us the reason why a war with a bunch of machines would actually be called the Machine Wars.
Yeah. I mean, there was a while where I kind of imagined it as something that happened on another planet. Like a planet with a similar technology level as Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a group of Autobots and Decepticons that ended up there.
And that planet was called Europe.
Oh, no. It's a very small piece of land with a lot of different languages. It's confusing.
Turf wars territory. If you were to do Machine Wars, how would you do it? TV show, comic book?
Oh, man. Well, the thing is, I don't think a TV show would get into the levels of detail that I would be most interested in. So, you know, maybe a comic, but I haven't really been interested in Transformer comics in a really long time. Just, I don't know. I don't know what about it. It's just, Transformer comics just haven't appealed to me since the Marvel days. And even then, I always preferred the cartoon.
You're going to get a new Marvel comic. They got a new Marvel comic coming out pretty soon.
Oh.
They're doing the next issue of the Marvel comic series.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Like, picking up. But it's not Marvel.
No, it's IDW's right. Marvel.
But it's a continuation of that series. Yeah, but, like, I mean, and with the earlier comic, I mean, more specifically, when they start getting into, like, hey, we gotta figure out how to make Pretenders work in this, then I thought it got kind of weird. But, like, those earlier issues, like, I just always really loved the way Soundwave was handled. Or a Shockwave, I mean. So, I mean, comics would get more into the level of storytelling that I would want, but I would rather have it be a show. But I don't know. I don't think there is. Just the way shows and comics are handled, I just don't know if I could get what I want from each into one thing.
Yeah.
Maybe a video game. Do it as a video game.
Are you stealing my idea?
As a hardcore RPG.
Dude, oh god, you're stealing my idea. You're stealing my idea so much. I'll explain why.
Western
later.
RPG, not a Japanese RPG.
Okay, you're not stealing my idea.
Western. Yeah, Western RPG.
Mass Effect, The Machine Wars.
Yeah.
Gog, what about you? What would
Machine
god.
Rim.
Oh god.
Yeah. Mass Effect, The Machine Wars, : Return to Skyrim.
Return to the Machine Rim of Amalur. I don't know what Amalur is. I get emails about it.
I am an Amalur prince. Send me 20,000 American dollars. I will share my fortune with you.
Gog, what would you reboot and how?
I don't know if there's anything that I particularly want to reboot or remake. So I'm going to go with an idea that I had a few weeks back where reboot the Armada trilogy, the Unicron trilogy, except for instead of just wasting the fact that this is all supposed to be in continuity, like do the first one in the past, the second one in the present, and the third one in the future.
Mad Men.
So, yeah. Like I've never seen that, but that was what Seth had brought up last time. But yeah, I think as a trilogy, if you're going to have characters that are going to be in continuity, like I'd love to see that whole thing kind of reimagined where, again, like, yeah, have the first generation like back in the 60s or something like that, or and that would be awesome. And then have the – and it wouldn't have to be like full on – like seasons. I mean, that would be rad, but you could just do like a mini series, like have a couple episodes or something in the past. Few episodes. Have like one season. It'd be like first seven episodes in the like back in the 60s, and then kind of flash forward and do a some in the present, and then again go into the future. You could have like some reoccurring human characters at age or like the children of the some of the guys from the 60s, like in the future, like their grandchildren are fully vested in helping the Autobots or whatever. But I think there's I like that idea. And again, I like, yeah, in the end, like that whole product might not necessarily be, even be the Armada trilogy anymore, but just, I guess, with my idea, it's not really rebooting the Armada trilogy. It's going back and revisiting just the concept of a trilogy and using it to its full potential. But I've actually thought, I mean, I haven't put a lot of thought into it, but ever since we had talked about that before, I'm like, yeah, that would be really cool if they would actually go and do something like that. And I think they tried to do that a bit with, like, the movie comics, where they went back and tried to tell the old stories about, like, how, like, the, whatever those guys were that made, like, the base at Hoover Dam and all that, but...
Yeah, oh, it's the Sector 7 stories,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, and it just, like, it never really came together, and it was all... Every piece of that was done by different people who had nothing to really do with one another and weren't even... Like, the people making the movies obviously had nothing really to... probably didn't even read any of that stuff.
I do want to say, like, just to throw it out there, for as much as the concept is being made to sound, the Sector 7 books were, they were better than they ever should have been. Like, when I read them, they were, like, first I expected them to be as throwaway as several of the other movie prequel books, and I was like, some of this stuff is legitimately entertaining. I was like, wow, like, they are trying on these.
Right. But you could incorporate, like, some of the themes from that and just go on. But I'd like to see like an epic saga of, you know, covering multiple timelines. And again, like, another, like, concept that I think Transformers has the super potential to do, and they never do, is the fact that, like, these dudes are thousands or, depending on continuity, millions of years old.
Yeah.
And it's like seeing, like, putting them in a perspective over time and looking at the way humans view that time versus Transformers, and how to them it would just be a drop in the bucket. Whereas with the humans have gone multiple generations now, and people have died and entirely new people have been born and have even subsequently become elderly, and the way Transformers could deal with the concept of how small human life is compared to their own. And it's like entire lifetime, like multiple lifetimes and generations can just go. And to them, it's just a blink in the eye. And it's like seeing how they would deal with that concept of being on Earth, or at least involved with the humans for so long. Like, I just think that is absolutely fascinating. And since the beginning, like, has had the potential to cover stuff like that, but it's always just been as if the Transformers are treated like people, and their brains move and they learn the same as people, and they learn lessons at the same speed and rate as the human beings do in the comics and on screen and everything else. And it's just like, I don't know if any piece of Transformers fiction has ever convinced me that they're millions of years old, because they act like everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's harder for me to bite the fact that they've been at war for sometimes millions of years, because if that's the logic that they're applying in the fiction, and they seem to learn at the same rate as us, it's like, but shouldn't you have learned this lesson maybe about 15,000 years ago?
I just never came across a scenario.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like, our entire lifetimes, like, they've lived that over tens of thousands of times. And so at least I'd love to see some sort of fiction that would cover that. And I think doing that in contrast, like, all this stuff in contrast to how short the human life is and all that, I think could absolutely be a fascinating story to tell. And this entire franchise for 30 years has been begging for something like that. And I'd love to see someone with some creativity try to at least cover that and add a little bit of comparison and contrasting to us and them, and what makes us different with the fact that they live so long and have been doing this forever.
Yeah, no, I like before, I think that having an epic mythical scale continuity, where such questions and such themes are brought up, would be only a good thing unless handled very poorly. My own thing that Seth totally stole from me, because he's psychic and thus needs to be fed to the Emperor of Mankind, is that I think they should take the most Japanese Transformers series ever, Transformers Car Robots, and then just do it as a JRPG, as it was always meant to be done, where you go on missions, going through the space bridge, going to different areas and having little subplots, and then eventually have it all culminate in a big, weird meta existential boss fight that asks questions about the concept of life and death and existence, and then have a half hour ending at the end of it. Also, I'm very proud that nobody went for the easy one when he said no US G1 and went like, well, I'd take Japanese G1 and then redub it in English, and that would be the reboot. No one did that.
So, I'd do G2, but only use the repainted G1 toys from G2.
Damn it! Do you guys want to try doing a voicemail as well this week? Set a record?
Okay.
Yeah, well, we're kind of behind on our voicemail, so yeah. Let's at least knock one out.
We should hit up one. All right, I'm going to try to get this queued up here. I haven't done this in a while, and I forgot my process. We got a voicemail here from Anakin Vader. And it's Don't Start Playing Yet. And this came to us in June of this year. And we are going to play it for you now. I'm going to maneuver this thing. It's going to get weird for a second. And here we go.
Hey, what's up, WTF and TFW crew? This is Anakin Vader. With BotCon 2011 about to take off, I just finished the... we're just finishing the episode 150-something.
Oh, dear.
Whatever. BotCon's coming up. Today's June 2nd. And, well...
Gabe, get it. It was a long time ago.
Sometime around Christmas of next year. I was wondering, thinking about BotCon, what between any person... Now, maybe not persons, because if an event like this has happened at BotCon, they probably listen to the podcast. So I was wondering, what is the weirdest event concerning people, products, broken toys you've bought, anything in that nature that has happened to you at BotCon after the ride there, ride back, even if a pillow play did happen? What was your weirdest moment at or around the time of a BotCon event? Thank you guys for listening. Looking forward to an answer.
Click. All right, Anakin Vader, I'm just going to preface by saying that the weirdest event that happened to me at BotCon is not one I ever share in recorded medium, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that one alone. However, while I think of another one, because I have other ones I can think of, I don't know, Seth, have you got a moment that was really weird for you at a BotCon?
Oh, man. I don't know, like, there's been, I don't know if I would say really weird. There's been things that, I guess kind of the weirdest is having people, like, come up to me because of the podcast sort of a thing, and, like, mm-hmm. ask to get a picture taken. Like, because... I mean, I don't think of myself as anyone really special, you know? Like, So the fact that somebody else does just, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, not at all. Like, I'm glad people listen and enjoy the show. It's just 99%, well, actually more than that, of my actual life, I'm just this dude with this cruddy warehouse job. So it's like a strange sort of duality to then go to this other kind of version of real life where I'm not just some dirty warehouse worker, I guess. So, I mean, it's cool. It's just like when it happens, it's not something that I'm used to.
Well, it's not something you really snap into. It's not like, all right, I'm going, oh, you want my picture? All right, I'll pose with you, dude I've never met before. Hey, okay. By the way, you just got to turn your head.
I'm like a celebrity.
45 degrees to the left, and it's like that.
I never want to see those pictures because where I've gotten used to hearing my own voice, I'm still not used to seeing pictures of myself. It always bugs me. Even worse is video. Oh man, video of myself is just, I can't deal with it.
I used to not
just
be
like
able
Johnny
to,
Depp.
I used to not be able to deal with it, and then I just barraged myself with it, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, like one of the things, like every time I look at a picture of myself, and I just go, "Oh God," I try to remind myself, I'm like, "Well, this is what everybody else sees all the time, and they seem okay." So why am I getting so upset about it? But yeah, it's weird. So yeah, but like the very first BotCon I went to in Rhode Island in 07, I got there very late and I was starving and we were looking for food. And there was like this, I don't know what it was. It wasn't like a food truck. And it wasn't like a stationary kind of diner sort of thing. And he kind of went up these little stairs to get inside. And it was like a burger and fries selling place. And the way it was set up inside, you were just sort of standing there with the dude cooking the stuff. And that was all really weird. So, yeah, that whole, and then I never saw that thing again. Like, I don't know if we just never went down the street where that was, or I don't, like, yeah, that was like a long day of travel because we got delayed on the way to Chicago. Then we got delayed in Chicago, and I had worked that day. So I had been up since like 4 o'clock in the morning, and now it's like 11:30 East Coast time. So, like, I'm in different time zones, and now I'm, like, in this weird multi-level trailer diner thing that was just like a little kitchen. And I didn't know who to give money to. Like, I'm standing there, like, just holding money out, waiting for somebody to take it. Yeah, that...
Money!
That
thing food! Was, money!
Yeah, that was weird.
All right. Gog, what about you? What's a weird you start going to BotCons in the late 2000s ish times as well, right?
I've been to the last three, so yeah. I started going in 2009. Probably the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me at a BotCon so far was actually from this year. I ran into a guy several times in the hotel. Sometimes we'd be walking opposite directions down the hallway to, like, I'd be coming from my room, he'd be walking to his room, because his room was on the same floor and wing as mine, not too far. And he would see me, and I don't know if it was, I assume he probably did this with other people, because there was nothing special about me, but he would just, as we passed each other, he would just turn around, and he would just walk with me, and talk with me as if he knew me. And it was, you know, at first it was a little like, okay, like, I'm not really sure who this guy is. Maybe he thinks he knows me or something. And then it happened when me and Andy and Nicole were all walking to the elevator. And he turned around and started walking with us. But he was having a very loud argument with who was apparently his father. And it got to the fact that it was, like, downright shouting. Mm-hmm. And we would slow down. And he would slow down with us, and we would speed up, and he'd speed up with us.
What?
And, yeah. And so we got into the elevator, and he stands in the elevator door and holds it open, and then just starts talking to Nicole. Like, so, what are you guys doing? We're like, going downstairs? Like, okay, that's cool. He's like, yeah, I forgot my room key. I should probably go get it. We're like, yeah. And he stares at us. And then he starts talking to Nicole. So, is this your first BotCon? And the whole time he's holding the elevator open so it can't move. And at one point we were like, yeah, you should probably get your room key, dude, so we can, you know, you're holding the elevator up. We're all heading somewhere. And there was several times where he would just turn around and start walking with us and talking with us. And it got to the point to where it was really getting strange and downright aggravating at times. And then it all kind of culminated where we were all at a restaurant, like, the last day. I think it was Sunday afternoon, and we were sitting at the burger place in the food court in Pasadena, and we all walked by, and somebody had mentioned something about animated or something as he walked by, and he just turns around and goes like he's going to sit at our table. It's like, so, you guys talking about animated? We're like, no, go away. Get a hint, dude. And it was just, it was, I don't know, like, if it was just luck or what, but, like, I ran into this guy about 5 times, and it was really, really, really starting to weird me out.
And then later you discovered that his name was Aaron Archer.
And he's listening to this crying right now. Good job.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I tried to keep your identity a secret.
I thought of another weird thing.
Oh, go for it.
This is kind of a short story, and it wasn't really anything weird that happened to me. It was just a weird situation that I got to watch. This was also at the 07 BotCon. It was a dude, I don't even think he's around the boards anymore. I think his screen name was Spartan117.
Oh!
He's a Scottish dude.
Yeah, I see him on Facebook sometimes. I want to see he's on the boards now and then. I can't remember anymore.
So that mall that the hotel and convention center was attached to, one, the most labyrinth-like escalator system I've ever seen.
Yes.
I never figured out the escalators. I just followed other people and ended up wherever we were headed. But, like, I would look at the escalators, like, crisscrossing and going at different angles and multiple banks of them and just being like, it looked like an Escher drawing. It was bizarre. But anyway, so they had a big food court, and that really worked well for the BotCon situation. There were so many restaurants in that general area. It was ridiculous. So the food court at the mall was a great place to go for lunch. So this guy, this Scottish dude, he goes to the Popeye's Chicken, right? And he gets a meal thing. So it comes in the box, as fried chicken does, the KFC sort of way. Mm. And so he's unpacking his box, and he's seeing what treasures lie inside, his side dishes and his various pieces of fried chicken. And there's a buttermilk biscuit. So also sitting at the table was a TFW moderator, Fresh Devesh.
Fresh!
Who is a hell of a character in his own right. And so he takes the biscuit out and sort of balances it on the open flap of the box and to, like, set it aside. And he's looking at it weird. And then he goes, "Why is there a scone?" And Debash and I are like, "What?" He goes, "There's a scone. There's a scone in my chicken." And we're like, "What? Oh, no, that's a biscuit. That's a buttermilk biscuit." He goes, "It looks like a scone. Why would there be a scone?" He's like, "Well, it's a biscuit." And he's like, "Well, why?" And like, "Because it's fried chicken. And you have buttermilk biscuits with fried chicken, I guess." And it just weirded him out, because it looked to him like a scone, and that's not something you would have in this situation.
No, that would be like getting a piece of French toast with fried chicken, or a croissant with fried chicken.
Yeah, or hash browns.
Yeah.
And so he eats all the rest of his stuff, and then he starts asking questions about it. Like, he's like, "What did you guys call it? A buttermilk biscuit. And what's that?" And like, "Oh, it's a biscuit made with buttermilk." So he finally works up the courage to try it. So he rips off a piece and he eats it. And we're all a Twitter with anticipation on what the verdict's going to be. And then Depeche asks, like, "So what do you think?" And he goes, "It's like a scone with too much butter." And then I was like, "Okay, fine, it's a scone, it's a buttery scone, whatever. Don't eat it if you don't want it. Just throw it away. Just put it aside. I'm done with this whole situation." It's
if a scone is if a buttermilk biscuit is like a scone with too much butter, then I don't want to try a scone, because I like buttermilk biscuits.
Taking
ingredients or flavor away from them would do them a disservice.
I don't think that comparison is as accurate as it could be, because I eat a lot of scones from local bakeries made with a lot of really good stuff. A buttermilk biscuit and a scone, the textures are similar, but a buttermilk biscuit is a lot drier than a properly done scone with flavoring in it.
Well, I was just about to say the opposite. And really? Now I don't know how legit the scones in my life have been.
Legit.
But, well, like, I gotta figure, if you want, like, a proper scone, you're gonna have to go to the UK. And, like, that's gonna be, like, for real scones. So I don't know what, like, the scones that I tend to encounter are, like, these are, like, the Americanized scone. But I've always found them to be a little drier.
It depends, I guess. Like, I go to Cobb's Bakery, and the scones I get are usually, like, cinnamon scones or, like, white chocolate chip cranberry scones or apple butterscotch scones and stuff like that. So I think they're flavored up.
I've just only ever had, like, well, like, at the coffee shop I go to, they have a scone with, like, a lemon frosting.
Oh.
Like a real thin. It's not, like, coated in this stuff.
So it means it's on
kind
top.
Of a little lemoniness, yeah.
Okay, because these ones I have, they bake this stuff into the scone while they're making it.
Right.
And that I guess that helps. I've made scones once. There's a really easy recipe out there where you use 7-Up or Sprite as water to make the scones, because the carbonation causes the air bubbles to happen, and it makes them kind of nice and citrusy. If you want to have proper scones, though, go find some place that's very British and make sure they have clotted cream and strawberry jam. That is a proper scone.
If you want proper buttermilk biscuits, you need to get them, come down to the South United States and eat them Southern style.
Hell yes.
Tons of butter.
So buttery, good. Butterscotch, butter.
No.
Milk,
Jesus
butter.
Christ.
I'm bringing my northern sensibilities down to your buttermilk biscuits.
Your northern sensibilities say to stick butterscotch in your biscuits?
Just squirt a whole bunch in there. Just get out a big syringe.
That's northern unsensibility.
Just jack some butterscotch in there, drip some caramel on top.
No.
Put a piece of bacon on there.
This is the same nonsense that has fries with sweet stuff.
Nothing wrong with fries with sweet stuff.
What do you call it?
Wait, are you talking about poutine?
Yeah.
That's not fries with sweet stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing sweet in there. That's
poutine are like as salty as all get out.
Yeah. I've never had it. It looks like soup.
No, it's gravy and cheese curd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was like like maple syrup and
okay.
Candy cane.
I need you guys to come to next TFCon, okay, and then stay a few extra days. I'll take you to Smokes Poutinery. They make the best poutine on the planet. Okay,
that's in Toronto?
Triple pork poutine. Okay, it's poutine with pulled pork, bacon, and sausage chopped on top.
I'm sold. Okay.
It's right. So good.
I'll try it, yeah.
It's so good.
Well, I know a bunch of people look at poutine and they go, oh, that's some weird thing. Like, I always look at them and go, I'll try that. Why don't you slide some of that over here?
Yeah. I mean, if you have crappy poutine, crappy poutine is the worst, because basically it's French fries drowned in gravy with dry cheese sprinkled on top, and it tastes like garbage. It tastes like a bunch of chewy gravy with cheese, and it's not good. You gotta have good poutine. Proto Man will fly off of his goddamn rocker if you start talking about bad poutine around him, because he gets all Montreal about it. He's like, no, no, no! I will tell you about the best poutine!
Well, I got French fries with gravy at a place here, and that was just awful gravy. It was just...
Oh, yeah.
That gravy wouldn't have been good in any situation.
That's the thing. That's the thing about poutine. You need good gravy, and you need to not have too much of it.
So what's better? True Canadian poutine or, like, high-quality American chili cheese fries?
Ooh. I need to try more chili cheese fries. I have not been to enough towns with good chili cheese fries, and I know that I haven't.
Seth seemed to be conflicted.
Well, I haven't had, like, legitimate poutine. But, some chili... Chili cheese fries are good.
We need to have an international
little bits of bacon. Oh, man. Yeah.
I'll bring the poutine, you bring the chili cheese fries.
Let's bring the discussion to the thread. So people who are familiar with both, you know, I want to hear what their preference
is. We're familiar with good both. I don't want to hear you talking about, no, I don't like chili cheese fries because the ones I got at 7-Eleven sucked. Because that's not going to help us.
Absolutely,
up in Santa Rosa is where Charles Schulz used to live, creator of the Peanuts. Across the street from his house, he's passed away now, what was his house, is an ice skate rink that he built. It was like Snoopy's Home Ice, I think is the name of the place. And inside is a little diner. And, like, still, like, he had his table there. And I think he had, like, two meals a day there. He had breakfast and lunch there. And his table, no one is a, they don't even put chairs near it. Like, nobody sits at that table. But I got chili cheese fries there a few months ago. They were good.
Mm. Well, stemming off that, I have a BotCon story I can share now. Finally, I thought of one. Because there's one I was going
to
tell.
Does it have to do with fries and gravy?
Well, I was going to tell the one about the guy looking for an Asian girlfriend, but I realized if I can't do my body language to go with it, a lot of the impact is lost.
Yeah, a lot of the impact is lost being sober.
Yeah, that too. So. But I have one that can work in words. Because the thing about a lot of my BotCon stories, aside from the ones that I really just don't want to tell in a recorded medium, and the one about this dude, I just want to say right up front, if you know what I'm talking about, this dude, he was, for a dude that was just drunk as he was a champion. I'm going to say right now. He was entertaining a whole lot of people, and I think he was being a pretty good sport about it. I'm not sure if he even remembers it happening. However, a lot of my BotCon stories do require me, like, pantomiming, and I can't do that here, but I do have one from, I want to say 2009-ish, somewhere in that era. Basically, that convention, I'd had a couple of kids come up and ask me to sign their toy boxes and stuff, which was odd, as Seth has described, with photos being taken and things. And so there was one point where I was standing by a dealer I know, and I think it was VA Witch or something like that, and I was standing there, and then someone came up and said, hey, are you this guy on the internet? I said, yeah. He's like, oh, can you sign my convention comic book? I said, okay, sure. And then right afterwards, he says, oh, and can you sign my little brother's, too? He really likes your videos. I said, oh, sure, no problem. So they sign it for this teenager, and then he's like, his little brother, who's a kid. And then all of a sudden, there are, like, these five other little kids there, and they're like, sign our books! And I was like, why are you, okay. Because I didn't want to be mean to little kids and start asking them questions about life. So I did that, but while I was doing that, then this older guy got in line behind them, and he was like, you know, in his I think late 20s, and he's like, sign my book too, and I'm like, and so I look at him and I'm like, okay, now this is an adult, so I'm like, okay, look, man, I really should tell you that, and he's like, no, I got everyone at the show to sign, just sign my book. So I was like, are you sure? I'm like, he's like, yeah, just do it. So I do it, and I sign the book, and I sign over a very painfully long period of time, the words internet personality evangelist. And so he looks at it, and he kind of looks at it again, and he looks at me, and he looks back at it, and he looks at me again. He's like, so what do you do for a comic book? And I'm like, I'm an internet personality. And then the guy's like, ah, he like walks off really irritated. And and so I was like, I didn't really see him again, but I always said, like, you know, I didn't mean to vandalize the poor man's book, because he'd gotten everyone of note to sign it, but he just assumed when he saw me signing the other ones, and he never let me finish the sentence where I was going to tell him that I'm only signing these because I make YouTube videos, not because I have any involvement with the show. So that was one strange story. I have too many strange stories, but a lot of them I just, for the sake of not potentially ruining somebody's online life, I don't really want to share a lot of them on a recorded medium.
Well, I have one story that I love, but from 07, but I don't want to tell it because it's something that could happen again, and I don't want to spoil its ability to happen again.
Yeah. But, all I'm going to say also...
People who were at Fire and Ice that night, they know.
Oh, man.
They know what happened.
I'll just throw out there, too. BotCon 2009 gave me a lot of stories, because BotCon 2009 had a lot of crazy people at it. A lot of crazy people and a lot of crazy stories came out of BotCon 2009. I don't think any BotCon since 2009 has topped the sheer number of crazy people stories.
Overall, I'd say, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 09, I think it set a benchmark. And you know what? Thank you, crazy people, for being crazy so that benchmark could be set. Because you don't know how many gatherings, how many parties, and how many... just times I've managed to break the ice, just pulling a story out of my BotCon 09 mental file, standing up and waving my arms around a lot and telling it. Those changed my ability to take part in group discussions, in polite conversation. So thank you. I came across really asshole. Anyway, I'm sorry. Thank you for the voicemail, Anakin Vader. You took us places. Best way I can put it. We're going to take a quick break here and intermission you, and then we'll be back with what we got this week. And I will reveal the last of those Transformers I bought on rollback at Walmart like 3 weeks ago, because I had to crack it open. It was time for the emergency. And you'll find out who it is after this.
Hot water heater explode or just quit working? Don't panic. Dr. Water Heater makes house calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just dial 1-800-ASK-THE-DOCTOR and you'll get immediate attention and the best hot water heater on the market today. Plus free removal of your old water heater. Don't wait for an emergency. Call for a checkup right now. That's 1-800-ASK-THE-DOCTOR. He has the cure for your cold.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to take a moment to tell you all about what day today is. Today is Black Friday in the United States of America, as well as a lot of the internet. Being a Canadian, I used to not really care about Black Friday until I realized that a lot of the internet's Black Friday was actually accessible to me. And so I was looking at a whole lot of the deals popping up today and almost went for a bunch, then realized, like, man, I am buying into the hype, and I don't really need anything I'm thinking of ordering, so I just didn't order anything. Except for, there was a Glios, not even a Glios release, but there was a Glios-based art figure release that I kind of liked today. But that aside, I was staring at Steam, and I was like, oh man, $25, $50 games, but I was like, I have an entire Skyrim sitting here, as well as Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I don't need another game. So I backed away, but I did want to know if you guys had any Black Friday experiences to share. Seth, you apparently were quite the Samaritan today.
Yeah, I stopped in on two stores. Like, I tend not to really look at the online Black Friday stuff, and after like the barrage of emails I've gotten for like the last 2 weeks, like I wasn't gonna give any money to those people. Like, there were some online stores like Zazzle. I don't remember ever buying anything from them, but I'm on their email list.
Oh, they know about you.
And I'm getting two emails a day from them about their 72-hour Black Friday special. And it's like, I hate to bring it to you, guy, but Black Friday is only 24 hours, so you're doing a whole weekend thing. And I fully expect to start getting your Cyber Monday emails immediately afterwards.
Oh, I forgot about Cyber Monday.
Yeah, I wish everybody else would too.
It sounds like maybe because I've done online role playing for a couple years, but Cyber Monday doesn't make me think anything good.
Well, Cyber Monday started when, you know, a lot of people didn't have internet at home, or if they did, it was very slow. So they would wait until they got to work with their work computers and do online shopping on Monday
after Thanksgiving. Okay, I can see that, because the way I translated in my head is Cyber Monday equals kinky, demented, private, crazy-ass, typed-up sex day, which always makes me kind of twitch a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know, people have more internet access at home than they used to, so... I don't know, but you know, they're still going to have an excuse to have something on sale. But anyway, so I stayed away from all the online stuff, you know, I was just like, forget it. But I went to a couple stores here in town before work. So I went into Staples, and I wasn't there like right at opening. So like all the real special deal stuff, like all the laptops and everything they had were way gone. And I'm not in the market for any of that stuff, and it's money that I shouldn't be spending that much on anyway. But they had some,
what are these, 16s? I'm reaching my bag here.
Oh!
Yeah, 16 gigabyte SanDisk thumb drives for $12. So I got a couple of those.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, they come in handy.
They are always useful.
Yeah, and then I went over to GameStop because I had left
early, so I would have time to do this stuff before having to go to work. And it was earlier than it needed to be, so I'll go into GameStop. And like they had like the four gig version of the Xbox 360 for $150, which that's a pretty good deal. But I already got two 360s, so I didn't need another one. But they were also doing buy two, get one free on the used games, which they do periodically throughout the year. And I was like, man, I have such a backlog on games. I shouldn't even bother looking. But I got time to kill a look anyway. And then I ended up getting some games.
All right.
So I got Homefront, which I know isn't supposed to be very good, but I don't know. I'm just curious.
No explanation
about it. Yeah, I mean, I really like the idea of America being invaded, and because not legitimately, but like
move to Toronto, hippie.
I really like those levels in Modern Warfare 2 because it's not a scenario that you ever played really in a video game before in a first-person shooter. Like in modern military shooters, you're always like in Russia or unnamed Middle Eastern country, and then like a strip mall in suburban United States was, oh wow, this is something different. And you didn't grow up in the 80s without seeing Red Dawn a half dozen times at minimum. So yeah, I want to check that out. And I got Rage and Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year Edition, because the regular edition, Game of the Year Edition, PC, and Japanese versions of Arkham Asylum all have completely separate achievement sets.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of thinking about replaying Asylum anyway, and I always thought, well, if I ever get around to it, I'm going to want to play the Game of the Year Edition, get some more achievements. So, while I'm looking at the games on the wall, there's a couple of kids in there. And one of them's on his cell phone, and he's talking about how he really wants Saints Row 3, but he could wait till Christmas, but they have the first Saints Row, it's only like $10.
Oh, no.
Could the parent come by and buy it? And be there so he could buy it, because it's a mature rated game. These kids look like high school freshmen, like around that age. And the parent had agreed. So now the kid's all happy, hangs up, tells his friend, oh, she's coming. And the friend's like, cool. Like, we'll go back to your place and play it. And they're all happy. And I go, man, I gotta say something. My conscience won't let me allow this to happen without saying something. If they want the game still afterwards, that's on them. But I can't let these kids just walk into the first Saints Row without a warning. Like, hey, man, is that the first Saints Row that you're getting? And the kid's like, yeah. I'm like, man, that game's really bad. It's not fun. It's really boring. And the kid's like, what? But Saints Row 2 was great. I'm like, it is great. And Saints Row 3 is even better. But the first one, it's really bad. I don't know what to tell you. The kid's like, oh. I'm like, that's all I'm going to say. The rest is up to you. And I turn back around to like go back to looking at the wall of games, used games. And I hear like, the kid go, well, I mean, still, you know, it's only for a couple of weeks, and then hopefully I'll get three for Christmas. So maybe it would be kind of fun.
Oh, God. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. Maybe it'll be kind of fun.
But, oh, man.
You know, if you're listening, no, it wasn't, was it?
Well, my friend Jason, he got it when it came out, and he gave up after playing a couple of days. He just said, it's just boring. He goes, it's boring. and don't play it. I'm like, okay, well, based on your recommendation. Then I play 2. I'm like, oh, man, 2's so great. Like, hey, Jason didn't know what he was talking about. I'm going to get the original Saints Row and have more fun. And then I was like, oh, God, it's awful. It's so awful. The graphics stink. It's just boring. The first one was just a bad Grand Theft Auto clone. That's all it was. But, yeah. So then I get my 3 games. I'm leaving. I'm walking to where I meet the dude that I carpool the rest of the way to work with. And I'm thinking about the achievements in Batman. Like, there's these achievements and these achievements. And then I thought, you know what? That would really stink if he grabbed the wrong copy of Arkham Asylum and put it in the box. I better check before I get too far away. So I stop, open up my backpack, pull the 3 games out. Rage is on top. I like shuffle that. Oh, Homefront, shuffle that. This is Arkham City. They gave me a copy of Arkham City. And I opened it up. I'm like, yep, that's Arkham City. They gave me the totally wrong game. So I go back, explain the situation. They give me the right thing. And so I got that settled. I got my game in the edition. I get to work. I'm telling one of the guys what happened at work. And he goes, oh, man, you should have kept Arkham City, traded it in. You would have gotten more in-store credit. I went, damn.
That's true.
Opportunity.
Oh, well.
You were still in your good Samaritan mode, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since row 1.
Yeah, when it got fixed at the store, the guy's like, oh, sorry about that. I'm like, oh, no, it's cool. Like, I'm just glad I caught it now and got it sorted out. I'm all, but if I didn't already have Arkham City, like, I would have gotten a great deal on it. And the dude cracked up. And he's like, yeah, and I probably would have gotten in trouble. I'm like, yeah. So everything worked out.
So is that your Black Friday?
That's my Black Friday. Well, and then it got black in a bad way when I got to work, but
Well, Gog, how was your Black Friday?
Pretty uneventful. I mean, I worked most of the day, so sometimes when I was driving around, if I had a free bit, I'd stop somewhere. But most of the time, I was just like, I don't even, you know what? I'll pay full price for stuff just so I can avoid all this crap. But last night, I had actually met up with my friend Counterpunch from the Sabertron podcast.
Huh?
And yeah, I said it. Take that.
I didn't hear anything.
Good. But I was coming back, and he had mentioned, he's like, yeah, I think Toys R Us's are opening tonight. He's like, but I'm tired. I'm not going to do it. So I had looked it up online, and sure enough, a lot of Toys R Us across the nation were opening up at 9 p.m. last night. So I was like, oh, I'll swing by on my way home, because I'm still looking for some Prime figures, which I'll get into later. But So I swing by the Toys R Us. It's on my way home, and there is a line of about 50 to 70 people outside with cops directing traffic in the parking lot. And this was midnight. On the night of Thanksgiving, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I thought, like, an early opening for a Toys R Us would be a completely non-event. Like, how many people would even know about this? But I was dead wrong. They could only let a certain amount of people in because of fire code. So, like, as people were walking out, they were allowing more people in. Like, yep, not even gonna try that. Just went right home and went to bed. So, like, yeah, what wasn't even worth that, but, like, yeah, I mean, like, the only thing I got for Black Friday was, on one of my breaks, I stopped into Target, and they had, Hellboy 2 DVD on, or Hellboy 2 on Blu-ray for $6, and they only had one left. I'm like, yeah, I'll get that. I like Hellboy 2. So, that was my Black Friday deal of the day. I got Hellboy 2 on Blu-ray for $6, and I got the last one.
Yeah, my
the guy that told me that I should have kept the Arkham City and traded it back in later, he's telling me about the DVDs he got at the Best Buy that morning. Yeah. He goes, yeah, so I got Transformers Dark of the Moon and Green Lantern. I'm like, Whoa, didn't they have any... Well, what's the matter? They didn't have any good movies?
Like, that's going to be a rough night.
Yeah, it's too bad you didn't see him beforehand. You could have played Good Samaritan once again.
Those are like two movies I would love to watch alongside better movies, but to watch them both at the same time on the same night would kind of hurt.
Well, and then the Green Lantern was the extended edition.
Oh, good.
All so right. I'm like, oh, so they found some more garbage to put in the movie.
And clean up the mythos and stuff. All right.
More character development.
Man, there's the one part in that movie that, like, no, it's the end. I can't even... I actually didn't mind Green Lantern, but there was a certain decision made, which is funny because it was so comic book friendly, but in the realm of that movie actually made no sense. But that's all I'm going to say. My Black Friday spending consisted of going on to HLJ for their Black Friday flat rate shipping day, and I was like, oh, there's new Kamen Rider Astro Switches here. I'll get to get those, and wow, maybe I'll just fill up my cart with all kinds of other stuff that would make it heavy. And then I was like, wow, this costs too much money, and I don't actually really want half this stuff. I'll just empty it down to the three things I want, which is Astro Switches, Cyberverse, Soundwave, and a Kamen Rider figure. And I look at it, and I'm like, all right, these are three tiny things. The flat rate shipping is 900-something yen. I don't think these things would cost more than 900-something yen on any day of the week. So I don't think I need to actually order these today. Because these are three tiny things. And this is flat rate shipping deal. All right, so I backed out of that one. I was like, I'm going to order these, but I'm going to order them later. When I'm not in the middle of being eaten up by this hype. So then I go over to Steam, and I'm like, oh! Random Factor tells me that Deus Ex is half off, Space Marine 33% off. So I'm like, oh, I should grab Deus Ex and then the DLC. And, oh, man, Riddick is $5 too, and I should grab this as well. And I stop, and I'm like, I'm about to drop $60 on computer games, and I have Skyrim and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood to play still. So I back out of that one too, because I'm like, by the time I finish those games, it'll probably be late December at the earliest, and I'll have a new Steam sale to go through where all these games will probably be on sale again. So I'm like, all right, cool. And I go to TF Source, like, oh man, Henkei Rodimus, $32. I want a Henkei Rodimus. And so I look at it and like, oh, shipped. It'll be like $5 less than the cheapest Henkei Rodimus on eBay. Ah, and I'm like, oh, but if I push my order up to $150, they might give me a deal on shipping because I'm international. So I fill up my cart and I look, and the deal on shipping was okay, but it was not enough to make me want to spend beyond my actual budget because it's Black Friday. So I was like, I'm going to put all this back and back out of the browser again. So the only Black Friday spending I actually did, aside from food today, was over at O'Neill Designs, the first wave of OMFG, Kickstarter-driven little muscle-style action figure guys, just little figurines, like the old muscle figurines. Those came out in a very Glyo-centric color scheme on the Glyo store for Black Friday. And I was like, those are $12, and there are other new Glyos things out that I want to get. So I will order Glyos today, and that is what I did for Black Friday. I ordered some art toys. So, I'm a hipster. Anyway, happy Black Friday, everybody. I hope that you all have equally non-violent stories to tell. Please share them in the thread. I love Black Friday stories. Except when it comes from people who are working retail on Black Friday, because then it's kind of just depressing, and I do feel very sorry for all of you who are in that position.
I had read a story today where a woman was going to get some items, and in order to keep other people from getting them, she broke out pepper spray and pepper sprayed an entire crowd of people. And people were walking into the cloud and starting to choke up. And apparently the cops were looking for her, and she got away with that. She managed to pepper spray a group of people, purchase her items, and leave without being caught.
That's because it's a food group now, right? That's what I heard on the internet. I don't know.
Capsaicin is a food group.
You know what? Everyone who works in retail on a Black Friday has only my sympathies, because everything I hear is that you guys who actually have to work those counters and pull down items for the teeming hordes of mongoloids while they're in the grips of their deepest, darkest throes of entitlement. I don't want to ever be in that position, and I feel only, and it's only sympathy I can really offer. And I know that's very empty, but I feel for all of you who are stuck in that position. I saw a jerk at McDonald's today, actually. I wanted to punch, but he was on the other side of the glass, and that would have been a scene if I tried to punch a guy through glass, because I would have been like, ow, my hand! And I would have fled. but man, I hate entitlement. Anyway.
When I was at that GameStop, so Wally, I was waiting for them to find the discs to put into the boxes. This lady was getting one of those cheap Xboxes, and the guy ringing her up was like, "So are you going to do any other Black Friday shopping?" And she goes, "Oh, I don't know. I might look around." And he goes, "Yeah, like I heard like they have like some super cheap widescreen TVs at Best Buy. I think they're like $200 or something." And she's like, "Really?" And I went, "There's no way they have any left. Those are gone." And they're like, "Yeah, probably." I'm like, "The only way you're getting one of those, you got to get some blood on your shoes."
Do you know how horrible a precedent I think it is when they call them doorbuster sales? Because that's practically saying, like, please break down our doors. We invite you, the customer, to reduce your mindset to that of an angry, greedy chimpanzee and pound the doors until they bust.
Well, and those things, like those super deals, they're only going to have like 10 to 15 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to get you there, and then they're all gone, and then you settle for something more expensive.
Yeah, because you're there already, and you went through all that trouble, and you killed those three children on the way in.
Yeah, you've been lined up for 5 hours in the freezing cold. Like a dingus.
Like, not to toot the horn of my country, but I like that our crazy sales day is the day after Christmas, when people aren't also madly trying to buy Christmas presents for their loved ones. It's like, guess what? Christmas present shopping here is more expensive, but our crazy sales day is when everyone is really chill and just wanting to spend their Christmas money or return the presents they don't like. It's nice and calm. At least in BC. I don't know how it is in Ontario. I bet in Ontario it's just going to be street riots and blood on the pavement. Anyway, that was WTF at Black Friday 2011. Now we're going to talk about what we got this week. Starting off with Transformers. Gog, how Transformers are you this week?
I potentially was in a really good position. Unfortunately, none of it played out.
I think so, I saw some of this on Twitter.
Maybe. So after we had talked about last week and about our last odd-numbered episode, 173, about the uncertainty of Prime Toys, like literally, I think the day after that, we had sightings in brick and mortar Toys R Us stores.
Boom.
So, like, yep, okay, that's a very good sign. I believe on Friday or Saturday of last week, which was like the day or two after you had recorded 174. Pre-orders went up on ToysRUs.com. Like, that's awesome. So I had pre-ordered RC and Starscream because I don't really want the Bumblebee. I have it. I'm glad that I have the one that I have. I don't really feel the need to get a double when I know that there's another mold already being created. So, like, I'm just gonna get RC and Starscream for now because all we have, all that's available at this point is the deluxes. So Monday comes. And I get an email saying that they canceled my RC. So I'm like, okay, that kind of stinks. But and I had read people on the forums who had gone through a similar situation. And in fact, some people had said that they had their entire orders canceled. So,
oh god.
Anyway, yeah. So, my Starscream supposedly shipped on Monday, and it said that it was supposed to have been delivered today and didn't show up, so I don't know what's up with that. But it kind of stinks, too, because, spoiler for 176, but Aaron, after I had ordered my Starscream and RC on Friday or Saturday, Aaron went there and ordered two pairs, one for him and one for Geronimus. And apparently his whole entire order was after mine, and his order went through without any cancellations at all. So I have no idea what's going on with Toys R Us. I mean, they definitely oversold the figure because they canceled a lot of people's orders. But it's a little weird to me that people who ordered more after me didn't have their orders canceled, but whatever. So I didn't get my Starscream. I also got a shipping notice from the club store saying that my Black Shadow and Junkion had shipped. And again, the shipping thing said expected delivery date today. So that they didn't show up either. So, I mean, this is a crazy time of year because this is the Postal Service just gets worked and the people who work there are stressed. I mean, my dad he's a carrier for the Postal Service, and this time of year he is just a mess because they work a lot of hours. So I understand. So I'll probably get all that tomorrow. But so next episode, I'm going to have plenty to talk about on topic, but.
For reference, we know this one for Thanksgiving, we bumped it back to Friday.
Yeah.
Give it the maximum amount of time.
Yeah. And, I don't mean to spoil anything for Seth, but I had sent him a certain package that he was supposed to receive by today. He didn't receive that either.
167
I am 0 for 3.
You guaranteed the listeners.
Yeah, well,
you owe the listeners an apology.
No. You know who owes the listeners an apology? The unions, man.
You.
The unionized Postal Service. Whoa. It's all them. Yeah, I'm saying.
Okay. I don't live in this.
Okay, down. Governor of settle down, Governor of Wisconsin.
So, my luck is not with us. But even as you had said earlier off mic, or off recording, even if you had gotten it today, you would have had all of 2 minutes with it before we started recording. So, yes, I double dog guarantee you, listeners, that there'll be plenty of on topic.
Don't say it till it's on your porch.
Hubris.
So, okay, too long, didn't listen. No Transformers.
Yet they fast forwarded to that exact point. Like, oh, all right.
We should put another chapter marker right there.
Seth, how about you? How Transformers are you this Black Friday?
Oh, I think we just talked about it.
Oh, dear. That was all you had going on?
Yeah.
Well, yep. I'm very...
I haven't really had... So, work gets kind of hectic in the run-up to Thanksgiving because... over half of our business is eggs, and egg sales spike like the 2 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's time.
It's the biggest time of year for eggs. Well, and people are baking cookies and pies and all, cooking like crazy.
Eggs are in confectionery. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it stays a little hot. Like it drops off pretty sharp immediately after Thanksgiving, but then it sort of stays a little high through Christmas, but specifically up to Thanksgiving is the biggest time of year. And a bunch of factors all happened that cut our supply of eggs down. So it's just been bananas, like just crazy overtime. And it's been rough at work. I haven't had a lot of time to go hunting.
Mm.
So, and I'm trying to be a little more specific with my buying. So there's going to be a lot less of, I haven't seen anything in a long time, and I'm not really interested in this, but it's here, so there's $20.
That exact backing away happened to me when I saw some $10 Marvel Universe toys the other day. Apocalypse and Scarlet Spider and Doctor Doom, and I was like, oh, I should get these. I was like, wait, what am I going to do with them? They're going to sit in a box with Darkhawk. That's probably all that's going to happen. So I backed away. I actually got it. I got a Transformer this week, and I opened one that I bought 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Both.
Keeping the dream alive.
Both were bought at Walmart on rollback, so both were only $10. So 3 weeks ago, I bought some Dark of the Moon toys. One of them was Laserbeak, because I mentioned before. The last one I had to open was Dark of the Moon Thundercracker. Who's Thundercracker? And I still really like that deluxe Starscream mold, and I do think it actually looks a lot better as Thundercracker. He's got a full-on color palette going on, and feels just a lot more alive. Unfortunately, his mech tech weapon choice sucks, because he has the mech tech chainsaw gun that Roadbuster has, and then he has the non-mech techified half of the Starscream sword, with a clip sitting there that you can't use with anything. So his mech tech weapon choices kind of blow. But the Deluxe Starscream mold, especially now they've been messing with the Prime Deluxe Starscream for these last couple weeks, I really like that Dark of the Moon Deluxe Seeker mold. I really want to track down the Dark of the Moon Deluxe Skywarp that came out in Japan now. I kind of appreciate what that mold can do. It's pretty cool. So I'm not unhappy to have gotten it for $10. Much like Laserbeak. Great toys when they're $10. And the other day, I saw for the very first time in Canada, the Warpath Generations Wave. With Scourge and Wheeljack and Cup and Warpath. And they were all on rollback at Walmart. So I bought Scourge. Even though I already have a Scourge. And a United Scourge. Now I have another Generations Scourge. Because I needed two to finish the symmetry. And he's still a good toy. Especially for $10. I hadn't messed with a Scourge in a while, so I popped him open when I got back. And I was like, alright, this is Scourge. I was watching a lot of Giant Bomb quick looks of Kinect games trying to remember how Scourge worked. That's what a lot of my evening was the other night. So I have another Scourge.
I still think Scourge is the best Generations figure. At the very least, he's my favorite of the entire line, I think.
I'm not sure if I think he's the best, but he is absolutely worth owning. He is a fantastic figure. I forgot just how beautiful his alt mode is, and I forgot that it has landing gear, and I forgot how nicely he poses. So I'm not unhappy to get another Scourge. If there are two toys that I am not unhappy to army build, one of them is Scourge, the other one is Rekgar. And I know Rekgar is a bit of a contentious point for a lot of folks, and I totally respect that, but I like him. At least I'm not army building Perceptors. That would just be weird. Like, I don't even know who they would all be. But those are the Transformers I got. I do have... I am very certain I will have more Transformers to talk about next week. With many thanks to listener, longtime listener, Rhinox DX, for something I'm not going to mention until it gets here. But unfortunately, those are the Transformers we got this week. Oh, and I can give you some updates on Transformers Prime toys. They are hell of hard to find. I saw a fresh... I think I mentioned this last week. I saw a fresh unpacking of at least three cases of Prime Deluxes on the shelves at Dufferin Toys R Us. 24 hours later, those four full racks of Deluxes were reduced down to, I think, four Bumblebees. So that was eight... I think at least eight Starscreams, eight RCs, and 16 Bumblebees. Within 24 hours, were reduced down to four Bumblebees.
Yeah, I finally did find Prime Toys locally, but I found three Bumblebees.
Yeah. And you know what? I gotta say, to their credit, that's a lot of Bumblebees selling, too. I have not actually seen the case of there being more than four Bumblebees. So, Bumblebees are also selling. And Toys R Us Canada is having massive amounts of Transformer sales. I just heard from someone, in fact, that the entertainment pack, with its much maligned $45 plus tax price, might be 30% off right now. So I'm going to try to check that out tomorrow if I can. If it's 30% off, I think I might go for it. Because that's, like, more than $10 off, and that's more in the realm of sanity. So I'm going to check that out over the weekend. But... Prime Toys, you know what? Even if I could mule them for you, like we just had them go on. Someone told me on Twitter they got their Prime Toys because of the sale right now. They got their Prime RC and Starscream for $9 each rather than 18. I lost all my receipts, so I can't price check it because I was stupid. And I didn't think they'd go on. They'd be involved in a sale, and I'm sure a lot of people might say, "Hey, can you go get me a $9 RC?" I sure would if I ever saw an RC. But the one time I saw RCs was the time I bought one, and there were like eight of them there. They aren't there anymore. And you know what they covered up those pegs with? They shoved the Bumblebees into the back and then put more Dark of the Moon Deluxes in front of them. Mm. So those are not Prime pegs. Those are just Deluxe pegs. Anyway, that's our Transformers, what we got this week. Wish we had better news for you, but we're getting there, guys. Prime is in the States.
And I pre-ordered those Igers.
Yeah, so you'll have those sometime in the next 2 months. So we're doing okay, guys. I think it's time for us to go off topic.
Yay!
Dun, dun. Oh man, as into that on Twitter, there is a certain off-topic duet that me and Seth can talk about, and I kind of want to just do it right now. I don't know if you heard during the podcast the trademark squeak of a certain manufacturer's joints. But me and Seth both, we both got 3A'd this last week.
And it's about time.
Yeah, and I have a story that I would like to put on record about, you guys know what it is, but about how I received one of these things. But, these were toys, I believe that the orders for these all happened over the summer, I want to say. And so they finally came out and were shipped out with no notification whatsoever. So all of a sudden I had two mispackaged slips, one of which had a customs charge, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, then, there's some, I mean, there weren't email notifications. I mean, I'm not going to try to lie, but I mean, if you were following the 3A Twitter feed or on their website looking at their news updates, I mean, they definitely said, these are shipping, these are shipping. Like, they were announcing when things were shipping out. Well, there was just no indicator when it was going to get to your region of the world.
I caught when the hatchery guard shipped, but I swear, I keep up with their social media as much as I can. I never heard of the JEA guys coming out. I just saw them, disappear from a list.
They tweeted, there was one point they tweeted a link to their news update, and there was a list of all the stuff shipping that was shipping and would be shipping soon.
Yeah, I think I got confused because it was on the soon list for a while and then just wasn't on any list, and I was like, what? What's going on? But it did arrive. I thought maybe we should cover this one first because it's the larger thing. There was a drop cloth and square 2-pack released at the 1-6 scale. Something that, and it was in the marine color scheme. It was something that I was not highly interested in until I read the little one blurb about these two characters that these things apparently are, which is a square and a drop cloth, that being a little square, funny-looking, smiling robot, and a drop cloth being a trash can man with a skirt and a big-ass gun. And they are apparently also, they're the Death Shop Boys. Apparently they do harmonic deathcore covers of Pet Shop Boys albums. And that entirely made me think that was the best thing ever. And you know what? I am really glad to have a 1-6 drop cloth, because this was apparently an entry-level thing for a lot of people who dig this stuff back in, like, 09 or something like that. And it is a really nicely done figure, I think. What do you think, Seth?
Well, first, I'm looking at my pre-order or my order list at the Bambalands. And that pre-order went up in June 25th.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I've always said I'm avoiding getting too invested in the larger scale. But, you know, this was a way to, you know, check out the larger scale and not spend too much. Because, like, the bigger bots can be a couple hundred bucks.
And they're gigantic as well.
Yeah. And that's another thing, like, the whole space issue. So a drop cloth, which is about human size, and a square, are much more reasonable. So, yeah, I was, I didn't really realize how big the square was until I got out one of my 1/12 squares to take a picture of them next to each other. And as I'm holding the smaller square, I never thought of it as being so small before. It's kind of like when I watch TV on the big screen out in the living room, and then I come back and look at my computer monitor and go, this thing is so small. It's just like this perspective shift. But yeah, it's pretty beefy. So, It kind of makes me appreciate the smaller scale stuff even more, that they can match that quality or that level of paint and weathering that they do. Now I've seen in pictures, and I've been told by people who have, like, the same colored things in different scales. Like, oh, I have the full size, this, and the portable version. And there will be some simplified or some paint details left out of the smaller ones, just because like printing would be too small because it's some lettering or there'll be things left out. But for the most part, that smaller scale stuff still pretty fantastic in comparison. I don't have a smaller drop cloth yet, but I wasn't aware of its waist joint.
That surprised me on my Slaughterhouse smaller drop cloth. So I was actually glad that that exists on the larger one. So I wasn't sure if that was just something that they added in. I don't know, because I've been kind of harsh on that small Slaughterhouse drop cloth in the things I've said about it, because it has a few, I think, design problems. And now that I've messed with a larger drop cloth, I do more so appreciate what they were going for. And I also see how some of those problems might have happened. And I'm also still hoping to find out that those problems are not present on the ones that Seth is going to get a hold of, the more mass release ones. I'm hoping that was maybe a design hiccup, because the smaller drop cloth's legs do not work as well as this one's legs. And I'm able to lift this one's skirt up, and I do not know why the smaller drop cloth's hip joints have, like, they have an angle to their stems that this one doesn't. And that angle prevents them from really doing a lot of outwards motion. So, that said, now that I've seen the bigger one, I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty cool how much you managed to pull off on a smaller scale. So, looking forward to hearing about those whenever they actually arrive at Seth's house.
Well, I asked somebody affiliated with 3A if they knew when the Drop Cloth Jungle to Plume 2-pack is ever going to be shipping. Because, like, this Drop Cloth and Square, that pre-order was up in June. Another thing that we're going to be talking about was also in June. Another thing that I got already was in May. I should be getting a thing from July any day now, but this 2-pack from April hasn't shipped yet. And then they were like, "Oh, end of November." I'm like, "Fool! It is the end of November." So I mean, we'll see. I mean, and I was warned about, like, the guy that sort of like led me into, like, facilitated my first purchase and kind of led me down this primrose path. He warned me, like, don't believe their estimated delivery dates that they put on the orders, because it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no warning about, like, and they're not even going to tell you exactly when it ships or give you a tracking number. And, like, I don't know how it came to you, but, like, everything I've gotten has been through FedEx.
EMS. There's
a tracking number on that label.
Yeah, EMS with me, and it's all trackable if I have the number.
Right.
When they sent the drop cloth, they had a number on that one, and I was able to track it the whole way down. But that was kind of...
Well, how did you ever get the number?
I am one of the strangely random people who got an email notification when it shipped.
Okay.
And I was like, what? I thought they didn't do this. Awesome. And I went and checked online, and a whole bunch of people were going, like, why didn't I get one? And I was like, I don't think I'm going to tell them that I got one, because they will beat me up.
A lot of how that company works, like, things will go on sale at a whim, and it's all, because they're such a small sort of underground kind of a company. It's a very fly by the seat of their pants vibe, and a lot of what their solution is for tracking, once they're not sending everybody emails and providing them with tracking numbers, is when you get your thing, they ask that you come to this one page and put a pin in the map to identify that you got this thing where you are. And then people that live in your general region of the world can then sort of get excited because, okay, they're in California now, so it's probably only a couple more days till they get to the East Coast. And It's less than desirable.
And there is a charm to that seat of your pantsness that they've got going on. At the same time, I think it's a little bit misguided if someone goes like, well, that ain't cool. And then you kind of go like, no, man, it's the best. It's like, oh, look, it's not the best, but it can be funny to watch. That's the way I tend to look at it. But, yeah, the draw cloth and the square, they're pretty cool. I have a weird thing with the square. It's because of, I wasn't aware that they used a PVC-ish vinyl for the legs. And it's kind of like a mushy joint, but not in a bad way. It's just kind of like oddly, there's a scooge to it when I move it. But I have a really funny story about my drop cloth. So this thing was $125 US shipped. I think that's a pretty cool price for what I got. And it comes to about 100, just under 128 Canadian. That's a pretty cool price for what I got. It comes in. Canada Customs slaps me square in the dick with a staple going through a notice that says, yo, pay us $51.67 if you want your package. So I got charged by Canada Customs nearly 50% the value of my package. And there is no good reason for that. And I am going to send this customs form back to them saying it was mistakenly processed, and hopefully they will be lazy enough to just send me the $51.67 back as a check. Because screw them. It is a roulette wheel of assholery whose entire purpose is to bleed random gobs of money out of unwitting Canadian citizens to better fund whoever the hell Canada Customs is associated with. Because they are a useless, worthless service whose accomplishments are greatly outweighed by the number of times they have either screwed up or entirely overcharged people or operated with no rhyme or reason in both how they select packages or how they even charge them. Because listener General Techno notified me that he was charged half as many customs fees as I was for a package that was labeled as costing more than twice the package that I received. So I'd like to take a moment to once again say, Canada Customs sucks. The people who work for it are probably bad people or folks who are hard off enough to be working something with as much respectability as telemarketing. Anyway, I had to get that.
Occupy Customs.
Occupy Customs, please. Thank you. Stop occupying the middle of downtown Toronto. Go and occupy Customs and preferably just burn the building down. It'll save us all a lot of trouble.
Are they doing Occupy and
yeah,
Canada?
Yeah, we got Occupy anybody going.
Anyone been pepper sprayed yet?
Not that I know of.
You guys are small time.
They were served notices. They were told, please leave this park.
Well, as long as they said please.
Yeah. And you know, we haven't had an insane thing that sounds kind of like the word soap get put through our government of late. That's all on you guys. Do your best to not let that thing go through, because it's really stupid. Don't discuss it in the thread. Seth, you and me also got a little Down syndrome clone with meat cleavers.
Yes. Are they down or are they autistic? I thought they were autistic.
I forgot. They might actually be. You might be right.
So anyways, in PopBot, the Tomorrow Kings, they're genetically engineered to be able to destroy these gigantic robots, but to keep them controlled, they're genetically engineered to be autistic. So, like, they can't even tie their own shoes, but they could decimate these huge robots.
And they all have sick haircuts.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a smaller scale, portable, action portable, they call it, 1/12 scale. This is my first Tomorrow King of any kind. I have four more coming. I'm not a giant fan of the face sculpt on these guys. And they're all identical. Like, the only difference from one Tomorrow King to another is hair color and clothes, it seems.
Yeah.
And then every now and then there'll be like a white one or a black one.
Or there'll be one with a goatee painted on.
Yeah. But for the most part it's the same face sculpt. And I'm not a huge fan of it, but I got this one thinking, oh, this is going to be the only one I got, I'll ever get. And then I got sucked into this four pack. But we'll talk about that when that happens. It's good. It's as far as the amount of articulation, it's very similar to the Deplumes, except for he has ankles, which Deplume lacks.
And I'm really glad this one has ankles, because that's I like Deplume, but it's also a very easy thing to put on as a con that his ankles do not work.
Yeah. And the ankles are, it's a double ball jointed ankle.
It's really weird.
Which I don't think I've ever seen before. And at this scale, I'm kind of nervous about it, because it's a very thin piece in between the two balls. It's this very thin bit of plastic, and I'm a little nervous about it, but it gives you an incredible range of motion with that foot.
Yep.
So that's impressive, if not a little nerve-wracking.
There's one little thing that bugs me, though, which is that for all that great movement, due to the way his shoes are sculpted, I still have trouble standing him sometimes, because his shoes are awesome, but they also aren't flat. They kind of get round at the front.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I have to make sure he's planted on his heels when he's standing.
Yeah.
Or he might kind of tip.
The toes kind of curl up.
Yeah.
In an odd way. I think the head articulation's a little weird.
The neck is long. Yeah. Some people who got the tracksuit Tomorrow Kings posted some pics of them. They're in tank tops, and it looks weird. don't take their jackets off unless you're ready for the neck. I do really like this guy. I think that their 6-inch non-robot figures are actually some of their most universally impressive releases, and I wish they weren't so few and far between. Like, just pulling off a fully cloth outfit, like basically doing your average 1-6 scale approach on a 1-12 scale figure and maintaining posability and the outfit, I think is insanely impressive. And it's often, I find, overshadowed by a lot of their mechanical releases. And like with the Deplume, I was like, okay, this is cool. But now that I've seen like them, now that I have in hand an entirely different design with an entirely different approach, I'm kind of like, actually, I kind of wish they'd do more of these.
Yeah, I would really like to see some more people.
Yeah.
Like, especially the Nom Commanders. I would love a 1/12 scale Nom Commander set. Like, I started getting involved in this stuff right after the Day Watch, Night Watch pre-order of the Nom Commanders. And kind of would like those guys, but I don't want to pay the aftermarket prices for the big 1/6 scale ones. So I would really like it if they did smaller ones.
Yeah, or all of the Action Cartel characters. Do them in 1-12. I will buy them all if they are done in 1-12.
Well, my understanding is Zoms are on the way. And for Halloween, they did that pumpkin Zom 2-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a 1/6 and a 1/12 Zom with a jack-o'-lantern head. So matching. Like, they look the same, just different scales.
Do me up my fighting Jesus Christ, and I will I will buy as many fighting Jesus Christs as I can find.
Yeah, so my understanding is portable Action Cartels are in the pipeline.
Yeah, I am supremely interested in that. But the Tomorrow King Hatchery Guard, I think he's a great release. Especially, it was $35, and I didn't have to pay customs on him. So, for $35, I see my money's worth in this. In fact, I think that given that the Noms were 55 in general, 45 to 55, 35 for this dude is a pretty good deal. I got to throw some legit props down on this. It's very well done.
And it just reminded me how much I wanted to get that... that Slaughterhouse drop cloth from SDCC, because they have similar colors and they both are dual wielding hatchets.
Yes. This really makes me want to get my Slaughterhouse Dropcloth out of the Detolf and start strengthening its finger joints. Because that's the one other thing it can't do very well is actually hold its cleavers. Because its finger joints kind of go like, and just sort of drops the cleaver. And I'm like, no!
Well, that's the one thing with both scales, is all the robots have articulated hands, except for the large Martins, which just have, like, big meat tenderizer blocks. But all the robots with fingers have fully articulated fingers. None of the human characters have articulated hands whatsoever. They all have sculpted hands.
Mm-hmm. Sculpted hands with humongous wrist guards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which looks kind of hilarious on the Tomorrow Queens, I gotta say. I kind of dig it. It's kind of goofy.
That's the glove style, I guess, in the pop bot universe.
But you are expectant of some double deplume and single drop cloth action, hopefully in the next month. Hopefully.
Well, and I got another.
What?
I got another 3A delivery.
What?
The same day I got the drop cloth.
What?
The same day the drop cloth square set showed up.
What?
I got the Heavy Bramble Bromwich.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. How is that one?
It's pretty cool. There's differences in the Bramble's mold. Like, he has the Heavy has a different head that only has a single eye. And the arms are much bigger. And the hands are much bigger. Like, bigger, thicker arms.
Mm-hmm.
And to give it more wrist articulation, so you could get the arm in the, like, the arm and the hand at the angles they need to be to hold his gigantic four-tube rocket launcher. There's a long gap in his wrists, which kind of looks wrong.
Mm.
So there's just, like, this big long peg in between his forearm and his hand. But you need that space for the wrist to move in the way they need to. So it's unfortunate, but it's a victim of its own engineering. But, some folks we know who have also received it recently aren't super into the colors, because it's kind of pink. And its box was pink.
Yeah. Like,
of all the boxed robots that I have, all the World War robots that I have, all black and white boxes, and this box is pink and white, which tripped me out. But it makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But there's lots of cool little details painted in there. I'm going to get back to doing videos, and I'll be doing a video of that whenever I get around to it. So.
Excellent.
It'll be better to talk about specific paint apps when people can actually see them and not just be like, oh, and then there's one and it says this and it kind of looks this way.
People are like, I bet he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Just close your eyes and I'll paint a word picture for you.
Imagine with me. Butterfly in the sky. I could fly just as high.
But I believe that is my off-topic.
Ah.
Guys.
All right. I'm going to bow out
guys,
for a sec. What?
You don't want to... You don't want my input?
Ooh,
been going on for quite a while.
Who got in on our 3A podcast? Who the hell is this?
Guys.
No,
I have something to add.
Oh.
Smart alecky.
No, for one, I wanted to say that the order that me and Seth had placed together, the status has been upgraded to packing slip created. So that hopefully should be shipping in the next week.
Is that good,
so,
Smile?
The toy isn't created, just the packing slip.
Wait, good Smile? Is that the Linkin Park thing, or is that the JDF?
JDF.
No. Okay.
No, I don't like Linkin Park.
Oh, I don't care about Linkin Park. I just want a Bramble, so I ordered this.
No, but I also wanted to say that I think the soda can aesthetic goes well with the water heater and the oil filter. I think they make a nice trio.
Is this where I should mention that GOG has spent the last, like hour or however long we've been talking about this, just pelting the Skype chat with links to photos of cylindrical metal objects.
You know, I mean, the semblance is uncanny.
I just imagine you with this giant grin on your face going, yo, control C, control V. Hey, control C, control V.
I never looked at any of the links because I knew he was up to some nonsense.
It did lose some of its subtlety when the file name started to just say things like foam chamber and heater family. Or tank storage, tank water storage .jpg.
No, but I am being serious. So I do think that the soda can is a nice mix up from the oil filters.
Well, thank you. I'm glad
to see you guys expanding your horizons.
I actually would appreciate your input. Please email customerservice@3a.com with some of your input, and everything will be cool. It'll be so emo, huh? What other ones can I drop?
I think that's the big one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, D-Fuzz. Don't be so emo.
Oh, man, don't get him started. Don't get that dude started.
I'm horrible. I have some other off-topic stuff that I'm going to talk about after we bring Gog Dog back from the land of soda pop and the living, and set him tanks. And water tanks, and set him loose into the off-topic what we got this week. So I want to know what you got this week.
Yeah, I got a few things. Today at my local comic shop, I didn't say it on the Black Friday thing because it didn't have anything to do with Black Friday, but I found a Figma. Mari Illustris from the second Evangelion movie.
Oh, is that crease-looking glasses chick?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and I always thought those the Ava movie Figmas were really cool because they actually come with cockpits that go on the Figma stands.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
It's really cool. And my comic shop, I only had to pay $15 for it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a really good deal, and it's a pretty good figure, especially for that price. I really like it. So, but yeah, it was pretty good. So, yeah, comes with lots of extra faces and stuff, just like. But the coolest part with these Figmas is they come with like the plug. I forget what they're called now. But they go into the insertion plugs, and then they have the cockpits inside, but it actually comes with an entirely second Figma stand just for the cockpit. So if you want to take the figure out of the cockpit and have it stand separate, that you don't have to remove the cockpit from the stand. It comes with two full stands with the little posable arms.
So, oh, cool.
It's neat. It's good. I don't have a lot of Figmas, but all the ones that I've had, I've always been really impressed with. So, what else did I get? Let me see if I can find the picture. Here we go. I found some NECA Gremlins figures, and
I've been eyeing these things. I don't know what to do.
It's like they have like the Hot Toys PERS gimmick with the little thing on the back, and I didn't know that when I bought it. And then I saw the back of the package. I'm like, oh, I didn't know the eyes could move. But I bought the George because he just looks pissed, and I love his expression. And then with the eyes moving, it's kind of creepy. It's not perfect. I'm sure it's not up to like the Hot Toys quality, but it's still
pretty. Well, they're what, like $15 figures. That's still pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I think they're a little cheaper in the States, maybe like $12. Okay, but. But yeah, it's they're really cool, and like even the arms, like they have like three ball joints in just the arms.
What? Like, okay, yeah, I saw them at my comic shop here for $15 each, and I was like, maybe if there were more joints in the arms, I just got Nika'd again. Where I looked at the arms, like, oh, that's just a sculpted piece.
No, the shoulder's ball jointed, the elbow is ball jointed, and the wrist is ball jointed.
Oh no,
you don't get a super wide amount of move, but it's enough to be satisfying.
And now I need to get one.
Yeah. And the hips, the only joints in the leg are the hips, but they have like a universal joint where it swivels and hinges. So, the head is on a ball joint, and the ears are on ball joints. So you can actually pose the ears for emoting. It's really cool.
God damn it.
Yeah, the only other one I want is Mohawk. I don't, you know.
Gizmo's I think I'm just going to get Mohawk and then see how I like him.
But yeah, I like George is cool though.
Oh!
He just I'd at least recommend getting one if you have any interesting
gremlins. They look so interesting, and the one thing I managed to do to talk myself out was like, "Well, for $15 I want more joints." And apparently I just didn't see the joints, much like with the Big Daddy. So
So again, it's not the range of motion isn't huge, but it's still
it's a gremlin, and they're what, like 6 inches tall tops?
Not even 3.5 or 4.
Oh,
but it's still cool. Like, just the posable ears is super satisfying when you're messing with these little things. But,
oh, this thing looks really good.
Yeah, I like it though. I'd recommend at least getting one if you have any passing interest in gremlins at all, because they're really cool. I got a McFarlane Elite Ranger from the Halo Reach, because I like elites, as I've said. Don't have a lot of investment in Halo, but I always thought the elites were awesome. And I remember talking with Seth like months back, like we were talking about elites and like some of the fiction and stuff, and I had seen like the design of the Rangers on one of the wikis, and I was like, I like that design, like it's really cool. And I was like, I was like, did that ever get a toy? And he's like, I don't think so, whatever. And then boom, like the wave just hit with the Rangers. I'm like, that's really awesome. Because it's like them in their spacesuit with the with their helmet and visor and everything. The only problem
they
with
tend
it is
to have jump packs in the game.
Yeah, and they actually have a removable backpack as well. So I assume that's the jump pack. Because it has little jets on the back, so that would make sense. But the only problem is the visor doesn't sit flush with the bottom of the helmet, but that's easily remedied with just a little drop of glue. So it's a very minor correctable problem. Otherwise, yeah, I like him. He goes well with my other elites that I have. I forgot to mention this, and I feel kind of bad. And it was because I had meant to mention it after I had assembled them, but I still haven't had time to do that. And I hopefully will be able to do that in the next few weeks. But I actually got a set of the new Gokaiger candy toys from Cook Sucks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I didn't mention it the week I got them because I had planned on making them that week, but I've just been super busy. But I had a bunch of vacation time left that I didn't know what to do with after I, couldn't make it to TFCon. So I just took off every Friday in December. So I have nothing but 3-day weekends the rest of the year. So
nice.
Yeah, I'll hopefully have plenty of time to put those together. I'm looking forward to it. And aside from that, I got two games. I got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, which is awesome. I love it. Love the new characters. Love the costumes that are out and the ones that are coming out. And I also got Skyrim, and Skyrim is awesome. I've been playing the hell out of it. I put in probably about 40 hours and still don't even feel like I have scratched the surface. Like, there's still entire cities I haven't been to, and I don't think there's a city yet that I've done even close to all the missions in, with the exception of maybe Whiterun, which is the first real city that you go to. I think I've probably done about 75% of the stuff there, but still, there has to be over 200 hours worth of stuff.
I'm terrified of cracking that game open, and like, thank goodness I found out that I need to wait for a new patch on the 360 so that I can install the game and still get the high quality textures.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a great excuse to not lose my next weekend to it. But as soon as that patch comes out, that's going to be like this swinging axe that gets closer and closer to my head.
Yeah,
and then
I don't even want to begin.
One day I will disappear into Skyrim and. Yeah,
that's what I've been doing. Like every night, coming home from work, I'll eat dinner and I'll just play Skyrim until I go to sleep. And you don't even feel the time disappear.
I have a funny story from Facebook about Skyrim. A friend of mine, Rose Tersu, on Facebook was like, "What was the exact exchange here?" It was basically like, "Hey, someone I'm living with got one of those Xboxes." Rose is not really a gamer at all. And it's like, "Hey, I got one of those Xboxes, and he's playing some game called Call of Duty for the last 2 days. And so I went in going like, "Well, if you ever want someone with a console to disappear, let's get them a copy of Skyrim, and you won't see them for a week." And Rose replies, too late. He beat the first game, and now he's playing Skyrim. And I'm just like, oh, dear. Because you're not going to see him for a long time.
Yeah.
I was on Cape Radio, and people were talking about, like literally, they were just starting to report, like, yeah, my husband went missing. I hear it has to do with Skyrim. I'm like, yeah, that's what I heard. That game
will... And even for all the problems people were having, like... Because I've never actually played an Elder Scrolls game before. I watched my roommate play through a good portion of Oblivion. I wasn't sure if it was really my thing, but I loved the last two Fallout games. I played both Fallout 3 and New Vegas pretty extensively, and I loved those games despite lots of technical problems. And even with New Vegas, I think my I can't even count how many times my game locked up or had some debilitating error that I had to reload a save from. I think I played 30 hours worth of Skyrim before I had my first lockup, and that was just because I was doing ridiculous stuff. Like my friend had come over, and I'm like, "Watch this!" And I cast. I used a scroll of mayhem, which caused every human around me to go into a berserker state and start attacking each other. They started killing each other in the streets. I then did something else, which I don't want to talk about because it's a spoiler. But I used a special ability to further ransack the place even more. Finally, the guards had me, almost killed me. So I sheathed my sword. They stopped attacking me and were going to haul me off to jail. But then I used my political power to get out of going to jail. So they immediately just left me alone and I was free and clear. One of the bodies that was left, I walked over and used my raise zombie spell and raised them from the dead. So they were just walking around moaning for 6 seconds until they turned to a pile of ash, or 60 seconds until they disintegrated and turned into a pile of ash. After the spell was over, I didn't realize it, but the person that I had turned into a zombie actually had a child in the town. The child then ran over to her dead father's body, knelt, started crying, ran up to me, said, "I hate you forever," and then ran away. And then I think in the midst of all that, I went on another killing spree and finally the game locked up because I was throwing everything I had at everything. And that's literally the only lockup I've ever had.
Did you hear about the Bradageddon on Bombcast? He got two dragons to fight, and then pulled a giant and a woolly mammoth into that fight.
Yeah,
and, yeah. That already sounded amazing.
I somehow found myself in the fighting two dragons at the same time. Which I haven't heard of anybody else that happening to. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but these were two randomly spawned dragons as well. And they were one of the dragons was fighting an orc. And orcs are usually not automatically aggressive to you, just like any other human-type character. But somehow during this battle, I had a saber cat attack me from behind. The orc somehow got aggroed against me. It might have been because my companion accidentally hit him with an arrow or something. So I was fighting a saber cat, an orc, and two dragons at the same time. I realized this is probably a good time to save because I definitely want to be able to say I took the two dragons down. I had to end up reloading the save about 6 times. And the first time I reloaded after I had died, it was because I didn't realize that when I saved it, the orc was mid-swing and I had very low health. So the first time I reloaded, I instantly just got clobbered to death in a single hit. So then I found myself having to keep reloading the save, but I quickly had to go to my menu screen and down a couple potions real quick, because if I didn't, the incoming hit was going to kill me anyway. So, yeah, there are some crazy situations you find yourself in those games, but it's never not been amazing and fun. It's so good, and it is easily, I think, the best Bethesda game that I've ever played.
Nice. I'm looking forward to jumping into that whenever I can muster up the courage. Already thinking about what I want to play.
I played Oblivion. All of it. Like, all the side missions, all the story. But I was able to invest that much time in a single game because it was early in the 360 when there weren't a lot of other options. And I still got to a point where I really just needed to finish that game.
like I played very little of the story and just went deep into all the side stuff, like the wizard college thing and the Dark Brotherhood and the Thieves Guild and all that stuff. But when I just had to get the story done and be done, I don't know if I would have been able to have handled it without using the invisibility exploit, where you could imbue pieces of armor and then have a couple magic items that you find, like an invisibility necklace that you can only get in one place, and get yourself like a, I think it was like 105% invisibility. So you could just walk through any situation, nobody would ever see you. And when you did have to fight a monster, you would just hit it and they would never fight back because they couldn't see you. So you just stand there and wail on them until they died. So I'm really kind of, I don't know if I want to get involved in another Elder Scroll game, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, no,
I just don't know if I could do it to myself right now.
I'm fresh to Elder Scrolls, and I didn't get as deep into Fallout 3 as a lot of other people did, because I just didn't have the time. So I think I'll probably get a lot out of this. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Oblivion was really good, except for the Oblivion Gates.
Yeah, I think that's
they were so redundant and repetitive. But when you're 105% invisible, you could just run right to the top and snatch the little stone that closes them and be done with an Oblivion Gate in 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, the story so far, I haven't done a lot of the main story, but all the story missions that I've done have been pretty varied. I mean, there's one mission early on where you need to find out some information before you proceed. So you infiltrate like this high class party. So you basically just put on party clothes and walk around and like try to blend in and then create a distraction so you can go behind the scenes. like they do a good job of mixing it up so far. And there's even the side missions, like, yeah, you have your normal, like, you know, go into this dungeon and stuff, but like exploration is really rewarded. And like, even then, like the missions and stuff are pretty varied, and it's pretty challenging at times, but I've never felt like it was impossible. Certainly situations where I'm like, wow, I've reloaded this part a bunch of times, I should probably try to approach this a different way. But I love the leveling system in the game. It's not like Fallout where you level up, so you have 3 points to put wherever you want. It's no, whenever you use something, that ability levels up. So the stuff you use is you gain experience by using it, and you get better at it. It's such a good way of handling it. Like, if you want to use offensive magic, the more you use offensive magic, it will continuously go up, even in the middle of fights. And you can get skill books and pay people to teach you, but that is going to be a very small percentage of where you get that stuff from. So it just feels very satisfying. It's like you can't just randomly decide, like, yeah, I'm just going to put a bunch of points into smithing because I want to make good armor. Like, no, you got to make armor and get better at it. But it's all very satisfying, and no action that you do in the game goes unrewarded.
That sounds great. Anything else off topic on your end?
Nope, done.
That's all. All right. I have two things off topic to go. Number one, of interest to a whole bunch of listeners, SH Figure Arts, Barnaby Brooks Jr. from Tiger and Bunny. Tiger and Bunny Figure Arts are something of a hot commodity on the interwebs, and they're pretty well made. Barnaby Brooks Jr., he's got some really cool gimmicks. I don't know if you guys have seen this show, but these characters are all sponsored quite heavily, and Barnaby Brooks Jr. has, of course, Bandai sponsoring, and both of his arm guards have sponsoring by Crusade, who are a trading card game company in Japan. During the show, Amazon.co.jp bought sponsorship space on Barnaby's suit, so you get an alternate arm guard that switches one of the Crusade logos for an Amazon.co.jp logo, which I thought was a really cool detail to throw in. And you also get this giant alternate leg for him for when his leg armor grows huge so he can kick a dude. And that giant leg is actually fully poseable and has a whole bunch of moving parts in it. It's pretty cool. So I think, all in on these Tiger and Bunny figure arts. I'm going to try to get a hold of them whenever I can. I love the designs, and I love how much work is put into the figure arts. If anything, I'm a little bit worried about some of the pointier pink parts on them, because they're just really brittle, clear plastic. And I think that if you do have a Barnaby Brooks Jr., you don't want him to fall off your shelf ever, because there are at least four separate parts that will probably just snap off. But overall, a very impressive figure, and hell of pink. I'm okay with that. Also, I got a small order from my good friend Knee Stuff, who I also constantly call Nice Stuff, because I don't know how to talk in English. He's the guy who introduced me to Glios way back when we first talked about 3A, and I've always been very thankful to him for that, because I love the Glios aesthetic and community. And recently, Knee Stuff started to do his own set of figures. They're also very muscle style. They're called Anomalies. They're just static pose figures that he's sculpted and designed, and they're sculpted everywhere. Even the bottoms of their feet are sculpted. And one thing I really like is that whenever he sells stuff, he leaves all their entries up on his store page. If they're still for sale, they're on there, and if they're not, he moves them to his sold-out page, so you don't lose track of what's been sold and how it was sold. But I ordered a couple little things off of him. First, I ordered one of his Anomalies. He does runs of the Anomalies where he hand-paints a whole bunch of them. And he's got a really cool style of painting where he uses a lot of monster color spray painting and airbrushing. So I got a Cosmic Strug, which is a metallic purple gradiented into silver Strug, which is just a zombie robot soldier guy. And his paintwork is just amazing. He sells these for like $10 a piece, and the finish is like super glossy. It looks like they're made of porcelain. It's really cool. And the other thing I picked up off of him was the Dr. Steyr clone accessory kit, wherein you get a Dr. Steyr original and painted head, as well as the Fist of Cosmic Power and the Hand of Infinite Knowledge. Or the other way around, I'm not sure. But basically, it's an Infinity Gauntlet and a sparkly chrome fist. And the reason I got those is because he was actually selling full-on Dr. Steyr clones, and I missed out on them by a couple minutes because he only had a few for sale, four, as you can see in the picture I linked. So he also just made up about 10 extra heads and fists to sell, and those were like $5 or $7. So I got to build me a Dr. Steyr body to stick the hands and the head onto, and I might do some painting of my own on it. The head is an original thing he did where he took, like, a Glios head. Originally, he just took a Glios head and took a knife to it and scarred it up hardcore, but then he sculpted up that Dr. Steyr head himself and has a production steel mold made for it. If you actually buy a six-pack of his Anomalies, he gives you a Dr. Steyr head unpainted to do with what you will. And also in the box, or the envelope that he sent me, was another little baggie that said,
what did it say?
Dear Mr. Vangelis, much bro love, Knee. And he threw in an extra Dr. Steyr head that he then painted up in metallic blues, which looks real ace. So, as always, Knee Stuff is a class act, and I will always readily let people know what he's got going on, because he's one of those toy artists, but he's got a real good attitude about what he does, and his stuff is also super inexpensive. So check it out on kneestuff.com if you want to see what he does, and maybe you'll dig it. It's not super poseable stuff, but there's just a really cool combination of design and delivery on the sculpts and on the paintwork that he can do. So that is what I got this week. That is what we all got this week. Seth, Gog Dog, that was a very long podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, our last one was shorter.
Yes, so. And I feel that this long podcast had a lot of awesomeness in it. I feel really happy about this one. Unfortunately, I think it's because we also were hardly on topic for a lot of it, but I don't care, because people need to know about poutine.
And gremlins.
Yes, and gremlins. Anyway, thank you all
for what? And oil filters.
And autistic guys that destroy huge robots with swords.
And meat cleavers.
And soda cans.
And Black Friday.
You know, we never brought up Rebecca Black once this entire show.
I know, or marketing groups. Well,
yeah.
Way to spoil it, guys.
I'm so proud. Thank you all for listening. This has been Vangelis, Gog Dog, and Seth. We are WTFTFW. This was Black Friday, and keep listening, because apparently we're going to have an awesome What We Got This Week in 2 weeks. So we'll see you all then. In the meantime, brush your teeth, goddammit. You're starting to smell funny. You gotta brush them. You might think, oh, I don't need to brush them. There's nothing wrong with my teeth right now. I brush them, once a week. It's all good. Well, that's going to catch up on you, son. And in one day, when you're like 83 years old, you're going to be sitting there and suddenly your teeth are going to fall out. And you're going to be like, goddammit, if I just brushed my teeth when I was younger, this wouldn't be happening. Oh, I'm just trying to help you out. Good night.
Bye.
What you got some badass perpetrators, they're here to stay.